tattoos
that
right
was
over
the
that.
Greatest. I still tell people that story where I go, he's so cool that he saw these girls holding up a sign saying, please sign our arms and we'll get it tattooed on us. So he has
signed their wrists.
Security bring these two girls on stage. There are like 40,000 people watching him. And these girls come up and they're like these two little girls.
They're like
and
they're, 17.
They're holding their signs and they're like shaking. And he goes, he's like, hi, young girls. And they're looking at a beetle.
Testing, testing, 1, 2.
Whoa, we started.
Yeah, we started. This couch is too small. I'm going to sit over here.
All right. I'm going to sit over here.
Okay.
I'm going to lay down on this couch. This over
here. Hello, everybody. Nick Youssef and Ari Shaffir here from Logan Square. In a suburb of Chicago. No, neighborhood
nope,
in Chicago?
Just a neighborhood.
Neighborhood in Chicago. Yeah. It's where the hip people live, you said.
Just west of Wicker Park. Two train stops, I think.
Those are the only two places you would allow yourself to stay.
Lincoln Park, I think, is pretty cool.
No, you didn't say Wicker Park. You said Logan Square or Wicker Park. That's it.
But I think Lincoln Park also is pretty cool.
You didn't mention that. Oh, there were so many good deals there.
Oh, you mean when you were looking for play? Yeah, these are the two. Logan Square and Wicker Park is where you want to go.
Yeah.
This is where all the cool shit is.
Yeah. This is a 20-minute walk away. The problem with Airbnb is they tell you it's in a neighborhood, and you're like, sort of.
But in a city where you walk a lot, that's not that far. 20 minutes.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Like San Francisco, people walk that distance kind of all the time. It's a mile.
People gave me shit for walking to Whole Foods from my place on Sunset. It was like, it was 19 minutes or something. And they're like, how would you walk? I'm like, my nearest fucking subway stop in New York was 12 minutes. Like,
yeah.
Like, that's just to get to start traveling.
Yeah, it's where, you know, if you live in a place where there's like subways, walking 15, 20 minutes is not a big deal.
Yeah.
But in LA, people are like, you're mentally ill.
You're crazy. I used to drive my car 2 blocks to see my friends. And they're like, why? I'm like, because I bought a seat that takes me places for $4,000. Of course I'm going to use that.
Right. And the amount of time it takes to park is another 15 sometimes. Yeah, you're like, I could have walked here.
That was in my old place on Stoner. We had plenty of parking.
And now you were just a stoner.
So Nick Youssef, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I had to hear my fucking roommate say that 20 times. He was a stoner. Guess what street I'm living on? No. Stoner, dude. No, I'm not even kidding. 10 minutes later. Hey, yeah, I moved. Guess what street I'm living on? There's nothing worse than fucking certain things associated with marijuana. Fashion, that's probably the worst.
It's up there, yeah.
Pot fashion is like, dude, gross. There's nothing. It's all pot leaves.
Yeah, or just like, it almost seems like free swag. Is that what they call it? Swag?
Yeah,
yeah. The free shit you get at places. That's what they wear. And then cargo shorts and stuff.
But it's like psychedelic stuff doesn't show a bunch of like acid sheets. It just shows things that are really weird and psychedelic. It doesn't have to show the actual drug.
Yeah.
Why don't you have stuff that's influenced by weed without fucking showing pot leaves or joints?
Well, that's the thing. The things that are influenced by weed are like nothing. That
chilling,
really.
Loving more.
Yeah,
things like that.
It's like sitting around and eating potato chips and watching movies. There's no like creativity in fashion.
Yeah.
Unless you're wearing a shirt with like a fucking Frito-Lay logo on it.
Yeah. I had a Cheerio shirt once before I started smoking pot.
I remember that.
Wholesale, remember my Cheerio shirt?
Yeah.
Bought at a thrift store that went out of business because I didn't tell anyone about it. On Sunset, down used to have a pool hall, and then it became a pool hall afterwards. It's like an Irish pool hall, south side of Sunset, like down right where Doheny hits it.
I don't remember that.
Near Hamburger Hamlet. Yeah, it wasn't around very long. But they had a few of each shirt. It wasn't just like one thrift. It was like 6 or 7 of them.
Oh, one of those.
So I was
places.
Like, ooh, other my friends can get this. I don't want them having the same fashion. Out of business.
Right.
But everywhere I went, people were like, you smoke pot, right? I'm like, no. Why? Cheerios, man.
Yeah, who else would wear that?
It just looked like a stoner shirt. But that's the kind of fashion you should be allowed.
Right.
Stoner fashion. Yeah, yellow Cheerio shirt.
It's a lazy drug. There's no fat. It's like people just dress comfortably almost.
Comfortably.
Just shitty loose clothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Old ass shoes.
Yeah, they're all like pajama like too, all the stoner fashion. It's all like, why is this fabric? Why is there fucking drawstrings in your pants?
Because it's the most comfortable clothes to sit on a couch and play video games and watch movies.
Yeah, maybe that's it. So,
all right,
Nick, on today's episode, we're going to talk about concerts.
Yeah.
Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank, episode 182, maybe.
Three? I think. I know your episodes better than you.
Well, 182.
Okay.
Because 180 was that Comedy Store introduction people seemed to like.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next week was Christina Walkinshaw.
That was 181.
Boom. This is coming out this Monday.
Okay.
I have nothing saved up. I have one shitty one saved up.
Well, now people are going to know. You can't put the shitty one out next week.
No, not next week.
Then they're going to know it's that one.
I'll go back and I'll interview. There's an ex-cop comedian I'm going to interview.
Okay.
About copping.
That'll be good.
Yeah. Maybe I'll get somebody from the training department. They have all these cop and trainings people that walk right around the street from the stand.
You think they'll be allowed to talk about stuff?
I don't know. Maybe. I've had some that are fans of mine.
Uh-huh.
That come by, and then when they come by and they say, hey man, I'm a fan, I was like, oh cool. But like, they're not cops yet, and probably 50% chance they're not going to be cops. I don't know what the rate of failure is there.
Oh yeah, I wonder if it's like,
not everybody makes it. No way.
It's got to be hard. Anything like that, you think, like, there can't be like, hold on, this is an 88% like graduation rate.
Yeah, no way.
They're kind of letting everyone in.
Yeah. Like, and Navy, I think it's also like you can let your body go to waste once you've already passed. Then you don't have to pass the tests anymore.
Yeah, that's why there's all those fat cops.
Yeah. But when they pass by and say, I'm a big fan, I'm like, oh, thanks. And then two times, I've been like, hey, listen to me. It's great you're becoming a cop. If that's what you want to do, that's totally okay. But the revolution is coming. And we're going to call on you, the police. They're going to call on you to turn on us. So I need you to say you're going to lay down your guns. Or, even better, give your guns over to the people's side. When right. It comes time. Not yet. Enjoy your training.
And then the cop goes, person's a maniac, and he walks away. He
goes, that's the key to the revolution. The people in the army and the people in the armed forces, just the military, the cops that are now military.
Uh-huh.
We need them to come over. If they come over, if they act as real people and say, why am I shooting other Americans, and they turn over, then we got a chance.
Yeah,
we got a real shot.
I don't see that happening. I imagine a lot more people would join the police and the military
during the revolution,
keep order.
Yeah, it's just going to get worse before it gets better.
Most people wouldn't want chaos.
The chaos is already there.
They'd be like,
we have checkpoints at every fucking place you go, and there's already going to be chaos before the revolution comes. They're not ready for it yet. There's already going to be chaos.
Who's they and what's the revolution?
Government, new form of government.
So you think there's going to be a full scale revolution?
We need a new whatever that
system?
Book is. No. Constitution. We need to draw it up from scratch again. It's no longer representing the people.
Even the Bill of Rights, first 10?
We need to redo it.
But keep freedom of speech.
Yeah, yeah. That's something we would have in there.
Okay.
Absolutely. Right. We don't have to say no to all the things that were in the Constitution.
Well, no,
we
got
to redraft it to say that corporations can't be people and fucking buy elections. They can't buy politicians. We have to do something to keep money out of politics.
Right.
So that's not in there. We have to redraft everything to start over. Because, you know, it's not even their fault. They didn't have the means of communication we have now. Mm-hmm. When they're drafting the original Constitution.
I don't think the corporations as people thing was in there originally.
It's not.
Came later.
Yeah. But now they just buy whatever they want.
But wouldn't
buy
like
laws.
If there was a new system, it would be like similar to this one where it's like you elect representatives and they speak on behalf of the people. And then,
yeah, we'd have to not allow them to take any money from anyone else.
Right.
Now they kind of did away with that. So now they can take money from everyone else they want to, and they can put money towards campaigns and stuff.
You can buy elections.
Pretty much saying, if you don't do what we told you to do, we're gonna make sure we're going to give all our money to the other side, and we're going to make sure you get fired in 3.5 years.
Yeah.
So you pretty much just own them. And then they do that with both sides, and then it becomes like, oh, you're just making laws.
On your own.
Yeah, through the politicians. So when voting no longer is a means to change things.
Yeah, it's lobbyists that do it.
Yeah, the actual vote. Forget the numbers, that it doesn't matter. But like, even if you do vote in someone you think will make a difference, they no longer can.
Yeah.
So then it's like, once you take away voting as the means to peacefully demonstrate, mm-hmm. you leave no option but to violently demonstrate.
To revolt.
Yeah. That's the only option you have. Anyway, let's talk about one of the freedoms we still have.
attending a concert.
Attending a concert, yes. So, Nick, you've always gone to a lot of concerts. You've been a guy who's always never paid for them, but always managed to go for them.
Fuck yeah.
I remember Sunset Strip. That first year of Sunset Strip, like, oh, we got to get tickets. Like, I'll get some given. I'm not gonna pay for this. And then that chick, Amy, just came through. One of the ones in my building.
Oh, yeah.
Big boobs. What's his name liked? Kennedy liked?
Oh, he liked her? Yeah. The little girl.
He liked her boobs. Yeah, she was short.
Yeah. Yeah, she just somehow was able to get tickets.
Yeah, she was like volunteering for them or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was great.
Was that fun.
That Alf thought we fucked him over?
Oh, yeah. That was because we were supposed to do comedy.
He's supposed to get us into it. Yeah. And say, yeah, we'll perform for free as long as you can get us in festival passes.
So, we had passes.
That
I
was
think.
A different year. That was the second year. Yeah. That was the second year.
So, yeah, first year, Amy got them for us. Second year, we had passes because we were going to do comedy.
Yeah. And once your VIP friend passed beforehand.
Right. Yes.
What was her name?
Annie,
yeah. And she had what I have passed on to numerous people, the coolest Jell-O shots I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah, I remember
those.
When
you take an orange or a lemon, you cut it in half down the middle of the lemon. Not like long ways, but like width ways. I guess it doesn't matter. Yeah. Anyway, then you scoop out the orange or the lemon, fill that up with the lemon Jell-O or the orange Jell-O.
Mm-hmm.
And then once it congeals, you cut it into slices.
Yeah.
So you have orange slices, but instead of orange, it's lemon. It's orange Jell-O in the middle.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, they were great.
She had pink lemonade inside lemons.
Uh-huh.
Oh, it was amazing. And then you just peel the peel back, and it naturally lets you have the whole thing. It's even easier to eat than in cups.
Yeah, yeah. It's the best.
Oh, it was amazing.
Those were awesome.
Such a great party. Anyone who's listening, it's a fucking great party tool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so what happened? So Alf, so it was the second year, is when what's-his-name played in the drum circle? Went,
Tommy
360?
Lee.
Tommy Lee.
Yeah, Molly Crew.
Yeah, what Alf gave us what?
We were supposed to do stand-up at the festival. He was going to organize a comedy tent or a comedy something, and it was very vague.
Yeah.
But we had agreed, you and I, we're like, look, if it's outdoors and it's like in the middle of the venue, because there's one stage on each side of Sunset, so you're kind of surrounded by music.
Yeah.
So we agreed that if it was going to be outdoors with no like, you know, sheltered area or anything like to...
That we're not going to do it.
Yeah, drown out the sound. We're not doing it because there's no way to win.
Yeah.
We won't
even
be heard.
Even if you're in the middle of the two stages, you can sort of hear them both. When you move one side or the other, you can sort of start hearing only one or the other. But there's no place where it's quiet.
Yeah, unless it was going to be like indoors somewhere because they were using
there's
the venue.
Indoors. I was on Nico Vega the first year.
Right, yeah.
Killing it.
Yeah, they were great.
Yeah.
So like the Roxy, for example, they have that upstairs room on the Roxy. It's small. You could do
If we got
comedy.
It there, we would have done it. So, yeah. And what
so
did we see?
What it ended up being was we decided to walk into the venue and just kind of like case the joint and see, kind of get a view as to where it was before we walked up.
Yeah.
And we saw it, and it was in the middle of Sunset Boulevard. And there was like one of those fold out long dining tables.
Yeah.
As the fucking stage.
Yeah, he did. He put it on two like milk crates or something to keep it up not that high.
Yeah, it was something like that.
And he's like, here you are.
And there was like a Comedy Store logo kind of like taped to it.
Yeah.
And then like a PA system, like a shitty one where you're like, there's no way this can be heard over the $100,000 audio equipment that's on this giant stage where a rock band is playing.
Yeah.
So we saw it from a distance and we were like, okay, yeah, we're not doing this.
Yeah.
And we were also drunk and high, and I think
because we went to Annie's party first, and what?
And on ecstasy,
and maybe on ecstasy. When did we take the ecstasy? When was that?
I think it was later. That was later.
Hold on. Okay, that's later. Okay, this is just a teaser. Now I have to start the episode. Okay. I forgot how I do this. Teaser, and then intro, and then episode, and then outro.
Okay.
You know why I do the teasers?
To get people to... listen.
No, that's why I did it that way instead of another way. Because all of my songs got flagged if it was at the beginning of my podcast. So they get taken down off SoundCloud or stuff like that. Yeah, so I had to do something else in the beginning because they only look at the first, like, you know, 10, 15 seconds. So I was like, oh, let me put something from the. I had to put something ahead of that.
Yeah.
So I thought just put the intro at first and then I'll put the song. But I'm like, I like leading with the song. So teaser, song gets around it.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Okay. So now what?
Okay, so hold on. So I got to do an intro. Okay, this is the intro then. Then we're doing the intro already.
I guess so. That was the teaser.
That was the intro. No, I'll get a teaser from the thing. And then this is the intro. And now let's start the episode.
What about all the stuff we were talking about before with revolutions and all that?
Part of the intro.
Oh.
Non-related. Intro gets non-related sometimes.
Okay, right.
Yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen, Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, episode 182. What should we call it, Nick? Concert something? Something to do with concerts or live music?
Right. Festival something?
The Festivus Among Us. No. I don't know.
Festacular. No.
What's that oracular? What was that?
Sorry. Oracular Spectacular, that MGMT album.
Let's take a knockoff of that. Then I'll have you ever seen MGMT Lux?
That's a six-year-old album.
Yeah, all right.
It's more recent.
All right. But who do we see? Arcade Fire. Do we have any knockoff of Arcade Fires?
Yeah, we saw. What was their last? Reflector was their newest album. Then they had The Suburbs before that, and Neon Bible before that.
Okay, we need a name that has something to do with concerts in general.
I know. I'm thinking out loud so we can like.
It's not a brainstorming session, Yusuf.
It totally is.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I know. I'm right. Shit.
How about just concerts? Just concerts? I mean, it's a lame title, but what the fuck are we going
to
do?
I know. We can just come up with something later. Someone will come to us and we'll go, oh, this is the title.
Yeah, I guess so.
Just so for now.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, episode 182. 181? 182? Concerts for now, unless we think of something better.
We will.
With Nick Yusuf, starting now. And Nick, don't forget, Nick has a podcast called Occasionally Awesome. And he has an album that just came out, which is called Stop Not Owning This. And went to number 5 on iTunes.
I heard 3.
Three on iTunes.
5 is what I saw, but I heard 3.
Let's say 5, because it's definitely you can verify that.
Yeah.
Went to the 5th best album of all time at some point.
Yeah.
On iTunes. iTunes itself said Nick's album was the 5th best comedy album of all time. Earlier this year.
The week of August 5th.
Yeah, some of this stuff has come back strong, but for a while it was the 5th best of all time. Nick Huser is my guest. Let's start the episode. Maybe I'll play all Arcade Fire.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good idea, right?
Yeah.
This is the podcast part.
Holy shit.
So the teaser I'll get from somewhere, we talk in the middle of this.
Your
somewhere.
Process is very, very
well, I don't
convoluted.
Usually normally do it like this. I don't normally do it like this. I could have just done the whole episode, just start to finish. But then you have no song.
Right. I feel like you're either not high enough or too high. That's why this is
I'm
a
not
problem.
High enough right now. That's the
That's
problem.
That's what it is.
It's been so long. And I've eaten since then. Had a
it's
cup
been
of tea.
3 hours.
Yeah, man. No, it's been like 4.
So long.
It was so long ago. I've been high for 2 hours.
Oh, God.
I almost smoked on the way back. If I knew how much time we were taking. All right. So, Nick, how are you? I'll do the intros later. Don't worry about it.
Okay, cool.
That's what I tell everybody.
That's what we tell people, too. Really? They go, wait, did we start? Like, yeah, we record the intros
I'll
later.
I'll say your name. You don't have to
like
worry
another
about
day? It's like, yeah, what does it matter? We just do them later.
Yeah, I'll do it. I'll take care of the busy work for you. Yeah. So you can just be here. So we went to Arcade Fire 2 days ago.
Tuesday at the United Center in Chicago.
Been there before. Have you been there before?
I have not.
I've been there before for UFCs multiple times.
Oh, okay.
Positive. I've at least taken pot cookies at the place.
I'm sure, yeah.
At least. Last night, just marijuana. And we went out to smoke in between. Who was the opener and who was the headliner?
There was Devo open.
Devo open. What a great surprise.
Dude, they were so good.
A treat. They went on first.
Yeah, it was weird because there was a guy named Dan Deacon who also opened. And I was convinced, just looking at the website, you're like, oh, clearly it's Dan Deacon,
obviously.
Then Devo, in order of like seniority and popularity.
Yeah, popularity.
And then it was like Devo first.
Came right off the bat. They did Whip It on like the third song.
Oh, yeah.
They did it right off the bat. Then they played a bunch of songs I didn't really know from their weird catalog. But it was still
from
fun.
Their regular catalog.
Yeah.
Yeah, Freedom of Choice is like a big one. They played that.
How many other people believe in the de-evolution of man?
Yeah. It was really great. The bunch of costume changes.
Yeah.
They devoed really hard.
They did devote really hard. These girls next to me, these lesbian girls, these feminists, were when they were doing this thing, going, introducing a song, "Are We Not Men? Are We Not Men?" And then the girls next to me were like, "We are people."
Oh, God.
"We are people." They weren't mad about it, but they kept reiterating.
Right. It's like they're quoting a song from the fucking 70s or 80s. Yeah, let them do it.
Yeah, exactly. It was a different time period. They're harkening back to. They're not going to do a read of Huck Finn and fucking update the shit.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Edward Jim told... Yeah.
But they were really great.
I'll put a Devo song in here, too, out of respect. I put one Devo song in.
Yeah, you should. Because I kind of forgot they were there.
Yeah. What was the song that Arcade Fire went out on?
Wake Up.
Yeah, so good. So Devo played for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Usually the opening band, if there's three bands, they play for 30, 40 minutes.
Yeah, usually like 20 or 30.
Yeah, and then another band for like 45 maybe. And
yeah, then maybe. Headliner. A lot of times it's just one opener and they play for 30 to 40 and then the band goes on for 90 minutes to 2.5 hours.
I saw Muse at Staples Center, Band of Skulls open. They had to do at least 45 to an hour.
Yeah, they're the only opener?
They were the only opener, yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. In a big ass show like that, you want to give the people more time.
Yeah.
You don't want it to just be like a 90-minute show. It's like, it takes fucking 90 minutes to get in, get situated.
Yeah, some people are late too, and they're trying to get in. They got to park. And like, oh, I didn't realize parking would be this bad.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about, by the way, at that first festival.
What first
festival? The one we went to with Alf.
Oh, yeah.
We were at Andy's house, and we were going to go out there. And we're like, I'm sure he didn't set up shit. And then we get there. He goes, "You missed it." And we're like, we missed what? And he goes, we were waiting for you, man. Remember that? He got all snotty about it.
No, because
he's like, we were waiting for you. I'm like, dude, you have a fucking table set up outside.
Yeah, we snuck over to see first.
Before
that's
we went to Annie's?
We went to Annie's for a little bit because we got to the area early.
Oh, we did.
Because we're like, oh, let's go pre-party, obviously.
Yeah.
And we stopped by your place and you got some stuff. And then we went by Annie's and we had a couple of drinks. And then we all walked down there. And I'm like, I'm going to go sneak around like the back side, like behind all the food vendors.
Yeah.
And kind of see where this so-called stage is. Saw it and I was like, we're not doing this.
Yeah.
Because we fucking told him ahead of time.
Yeah.
If it's going to be some bullshit
table.
And he got
all pissy about it.
So we left, then partied some more at Annie's, waited till after the time we were supposed to do the show, then went down and walked right by the stage, and he got...
Where the fuck were you? He's like, no, dude, look at yourself. Yeah. Look at what you got here. No, stop it. Stop it right now.
We're like, look, we're not... This is the only people to be embarrassed are us.
And maybe we would have called you to tell you, sorry, we're not going to make it, if you hadn't just told us we got into South by Southwest the year before, and then we got there, we just weren't in South by Southwest.
Yeah.
And the only shows that you made flyers for... We got to the venue and they're like, what are you talking about? We've never had shows here. No, we're on South by Southwest. They go, we don't have shows here.
Right.
Ever. In South by Southwest or otherwise. We're not a venue.
Yeah.
And we're like, motherfucking Alf.
Yeah.
That's when you wanted to sleep with him the first night?
Yeah, he fucking...
And then he just wouldn't answer his phone.
Yeah. And he said he got locked in his car. It was a mess, dude. I literally got stranded at the fucking airport. I was like, I don't know where to go. I've nowhere. No one's answering phones. We got in at midnight.
Yeah. And we slept at Allison Dynamite's house. You had to sleep over there. You stopped me from getting laid.
No. The first night I slept at my friend's hotel.
Oh, that's before I got there.
Yeah. No.
I didn't get there the first night. I got there right afterwards, I guess.
No, we got there at the same time.
And then what happened?
Remember, we flew to Vegas.
Oh, yeah, we drank.
We took like a...
First time I drank on an airplane.
Yeah, because we took the pot. Remember, we ate. It was those
breath strips are things. Great, man.
And I was worried because I'm like, dude, are my eyes going to be red? Are they going to fucking
Who cares if your eyes are red? You're flying.
Because I was like paranoid. I'm like, what if like I get stopped and I can't go and all this shit?
You can't go. What are you talking about? All these people.
Yeah.
What are you all talking about? If my eyes are red, they'll still let you fly, even if you're high. You can be like, I'm really stoned right now, and they can't stop you from flying.
Well, I mean, who would ever say that, first of all?
But even if you did.
But then it's like they search you and fuck. I mean, not that I had any pot on me, but
you
just don't want to open the doors. Because you most likely had like four joints on you.
Yeah, I had plenty.
And yeah, so you don't want to open the doors into like, then they search you, you get fucking caught with pot. We can't
fuck them.
So anyway.
We're free men.
So yeah, we got high and then we like...
Drank a couple beers.
And then we did like, we completed a whole entire crossword puzzle because we were so stoned. Yeah. We're like, we got to finish this.
Yeah, we did.
The next thing you know, we're in Austin. and then no one's there to.
So where did we sleep the first night?
Well, you slept at Allison's, and I slept at my friend's place, who was staying at.
Oh, that chick, that hot chick.
No, she was. I mean, she's cute, but
wasn't
like,
she in Austin?
What hot chick? Oh, Tara.
Yeah.
No, that was later.
Oh.
That was like a couple days later.
Okay.
So when we got there, no one's answering the phone.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
he just stopped answering the phone. It's like he knew there'd be repercussions of not getting us in and telling us. If he just told us like, hey, we didn't get in, don't waste the ticket flying here. People like had to like buy a ticket to get in there. And we're like, all right, no, he says it's taken care of.
Yeah.
He's just lying to us. Like he would never come to term.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get there and he's just not answering.
No answer. And I'm like, I don't fucking have anywhere to stay. What am I going to do? He won't answer, won't
There's
answer.
There's no hotels answer. Even open.
Oh, nothing's open.
South by Southwest.
And nor did I have the fucking money to go get a hotel. Yeah. Even though every hotel's like $200-$300 a night or more. Yeah,
they jack it for
it's
that
It's fucking
time.
Crazy.
A lot of locals leave during that time.
I'm sure they do,
their
yeah.
They vacation right then. They're like, why?
Yeah, they're like, we've been to this thing before. It's not worth it. It's fucking crazy. So then I end up staying at my friend's place and I'm like, and she's staying at like this hotel. She's like, oh, I got an extra bed. You can stay here. So then the next day, I call him again, like 3 or 4 times, no answer. And then I text him, you're an asshole.
Yeah.
And he responds.
And then he responded.
And he goes, yeah, I know, was his response.
Oh, he was just too embarrassed to actually tell you. So he was like.
Well, I didn't know what it was. And I'm like, what the fuck happened? You need to give me an explanation right now. And then he tells me, the keys to the rental got, we locked him in the trunk because we put all our shit in there to go out to some bars, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, I promise that's what happened. I'll show you the receipt to the AAA or whatever it was, the tow company. And I'm like, you better fucking get here and pick me up right now. I want to drop this shit off. I want to take a shower. I want to change. I'm really annoyed.
Why don't you borrow somebody's phone then? Why don't you borrow somebody else and get in touch with me? You know I'm coming.
Oh, no, I know. That's why I was still annoyed. And he goes, all right, picks me up. And I go, and he goes, dude, I'm sorry, and produces this receipt. And I look at it. I'm like, all right, look, man, I believe you. I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. It's crazy. This festival's nuts. A million things are happening. Yeah. I understand. So I'm like, let's go to the hotel. He's like, no, I got to go to the Hilton to do a rehearsal for this panel I'm doing this afternoon. I'm like,
it was all about himself getting into the panel. That's right.
Right.
This motherfucker, Alf.
Yeah.
You motherfucker, Alf. You're a motherfucker. The whole time you knew. We could have been making plans right then. We could have been trying to deal with it. But you're like, no, no, it's not even a problem. Wait till 10 p.m. and then deal with it.
Uh-huh.
Motherfucker, Alf.
So then we're driving to the Hilton. And I'm like, well, why can't we just stop at the hotel? Like,
we're
I don't
passing. It's right there.
I don't get it. He's like, well, no, it's like 20 minutes out. I'm like, all right, dude. But he's like, well, maybe you can just go, you know, shower at Nick's place, one of our friends.
Uh-huh.
And he's got a hotel room in there. I'm like, I'm not going to put someone out to be like, bother him to fucking, I'll just wait. All right. So he goes up to do his rehearsal. I'm hanging out in the lobby of the Hilton. Nick shows up and he's like, hey, what's up, man? How's it going? I'm like, good. Where's Alf? He's rehearsing for his panel. Cool. Yeah, I'm just fucking dying to get to the hotel so I can like drop my shit off and change. And he goes, what hotel? I go, the one Alf and I are staying at this week. And like Justin was coming into town too a few days. We're all splitting it to save money. He's all, oh, that's Alf's not staying in a hotel. I'm like, excuse me? And then Nick goes, uh-oh. And I go, what do you mean, uh-oh? He goes, Alf's staying with his friends. He's got friends that live here. And I go, what? And he's like, oh, shit. Alf's in trouble. That's exactly what he says.
Alf is in trouble.
I go,
but not because of you, Nick.
I know.
Not because of you. He should have told me this before.
No, that's what he said.
I'm waiting to take a shower and you're fucking...
Yeah, he said that like kind of
lying
to himself, like Alf's in trouble for what he apparently did to you.
Yeah.
And I go... And Nick, he's worked in the music industry for a long time. He's seen bands and this kind of shit happen. And he's been to South by a million times. He's probably seen variations on this story a lot. And he kind of just like laughed it off like, you guys sort this out amongst yourselves, man. And I go, you know what? I'm gonna wait. I'm going to be the bigger man here. And I'm going to wait not only till after his rehearsal, but till after the panel even. And then I'm going to scream at him.
Yeah.
So I waited because this panel's super fucking important. It's a comedy
was
panel
on that one, and
yeah, Michael yeah, it was
Black.
That one.
Yeah.
So I went up.
So
I,
important to him.
I watched it the whole thing, and after it ended, I go, "Hey, man. So what's going on with this hotel?" He's like, "Oh,
you knew he was lying at this point."
Yeah. So now I'm like, "We'll play around with it a little bit."
Yeah.
So I go, so yeah, so we're going to go to the hotel now so I can drop off my stuff. And he goes, oh, yeah, we'll go there in a little bit. And I was like, hey, also, I know there's no hotel. I know you're staying with your friends. Why would you fucking do this to anybody?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you? Like, you stranded me at an airport at midnight with nowhere to go. I have luggage, all my stuff. I have nowhere to go. It's a city I don't live in. I don't really know anyone here. The one person I do know, my friend Tara, out of town.
Oh.
I'm fucked. And you're nowhere to be found. And then you not only... You don't confess even the next day there's nowhere to stay.
You continue the lie, making it worse.
I still, to this moment right now, as we're talking, have nowhere to stay. He goes, well, no, I've already talked. I talked it out with Nick, and you can stay there for a couple of days until, because his wife's coming into town. And like, okay, so now you're putting out someone else. So I got to bother him. He's probably got tons of work to do. The guy puts on shows at South by Southwest. He owns a music venue. He's dealing with bands. I'm going to bug him and sleep on his fucking floor for 2 days. Then what happens after 2 days? Guy's wife gets to town. Then what do? I'm stranded again. Meanwhile, you're staying with your friends that live in Austin. And what am I fucking doing? Then you got Justin coming into town. Where's he going to stay?
Well, you told us all we were in.
And then
you said they were going to find us opening spots for bands when we were there.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool bands, you said.
Right, right, right.
We would be able to open for them. That's how we were participating in South by Southwest. Mm-hmm. That's what you said.
Mm-hmm.
That was never even on a table anywhere.
Right. So he goes, oh, I thought of that. After a couple days, I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to find us all a hotel room, and I'm going to take care of it. And I go,
you're the worst person to take care of it. You've only failed.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, at that point, I'm like, I almost didn't even hear what you said because everything else has been a lie. So why would this be the truth?
Oh, liars always do that, and they get mad at you. Like, I told you I'd take care of it, didn't I? You're like, well, you said a lot of things. Don't act like you're saying it is always the truth. Why would I believe that?
Exactly.
They get so mad at you when they say one thing that's the truth. Then they start going like, see, I told you. You're like, tell me once.
Right. So I'm like, you know what, man? I'm like, I don't even want to fucking, I don't want to hear it from you. I really, I'm so fucking mad and there's nothing I can do about it. I just don't even want to, I don't even want to talk to you for the rest of the day. And so I just like went about just, I didn't know where I was going to stay that night. And I asked you, and I was like, look, man, here's what happened with Alf. I'm sorry, but like, my friend Tara gets into town like the day after or the next day. And I was like, can I stay with you guys? And I knew you were like, you know, hooking up with this girl, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And you're like, and I remember what you said, you're like, okay, you can stay tonight. But after that, you got to find somewhere else because I need to fuck this girl.
Yeah,
and I was
looking forward to having sex with a girl.
I was like, that's kind of a dickish way to put it, but I understand.
I was like, you can do it, but you cannot make this a habit. Like, I'm already not fucking for one night because you're here.
That's why I didn't stay the first night. I was like, I'll figure something out. Oh, yeah. But I was like, I need it tonight. I literally need. There's nowhere else to stay. And you're like, all right, you can stay there. And I stayed that night. She was very nice. And then the next day, Tara came back to town. I think she came back early coincidentally.
Oh.
And she goes, oh, look, not a problem. I stay in a cool part of town. I got a fucking like 2 or 3 bedroom. You can crash here. Your friend Justin can crash
that's
here.
Right.
She was so cool about it. And we stayed there like the next 3 nights until the end of the trip.
That's right. He brought home a guy there. He brought a dude back. Which he called. He was like, I was like, how hot was he? He was a zero.
That's
I'm like,
hilarious.
He was not. Then I saw him. I'm like, he was like a six. He goes, he was an Austin six. He was an LA zero.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she was all, ew, are they fucking on my bed? I'm like, probably. Yeah. I don't know.
All over in it. All over. All over.
There's anal, gay all over it.
Leakage everywhere.
Yeah. A lot of homosexuality.
Justin fucks.
Oh, yeah.
Justin fucks. That was a fun festival, though, regardless.
It ended up being fun.
Did we see any music?
I think we saw some.
Didn't we get into a cool band at some point, like at the end of the. But towards the end, didn't we see somebody cool?
I don't even remember. Because we went 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
And I don't... I think that was the year...
You went the year before. Then I went the year after. You went the year before me. Then we went together 1 year. Then I went the year after, actually in South By.
Right, yeah. I only did one South By show that year. I did Marin's live podcast.
Oh, yeah. That's right. You were the only one of all of us to do anything.
Yeah. Well, we did those shows at Cap City.
Yeah, Cap City. But that was in Cap City. That was so far away from South By Southwest.
I know.
That was me scheduling it.
Was that you?
Pretty much.
Because I think South By does shows at Cap City, but ours was not an official.
Yeah.
But that year, they didn't really... That was their first year of doing some official. Anyway, South By is a difficult festival to watch music
I think
in.
It's done. I think it's done, and here's why. One, it's become way more corporate, and you can talk about... Because you've been to the Indio one
Coachella.
For years before it got as big as it is, and now that it's as big as it is. I think it's too corporate. I think that's what usually ruins festivals. But also... Where South By was super cool was you'd have cool, really big bands, the White Stripes, just popping in somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But then you got Twitter. And Twitter made it so that once there was a rumor of them popping in somewhere, everyone knew about it in 45 seconds.
Yeah.
And so you pretty much had to already be in line by the time the rumor came out. If they got out of their van and ran into the venue, you had to be in line within 2 minutes.
Uh-huh.
Or it's over. White Stripes just went into the venue and everyone just shows up and it fucking fills up. I don't think it's a usable festival anymore.
Well, I mean, there's a bigger problem with that festival when it comes to seeing those bands is because you have to buy different like levels of tickets.
Level passes, yeah.
So there's like VIP, let's call them whatever, platinum and then super platinum and gold and
but
silver.
But then all that happens,
it's
like a speed pass for Disney. All that happens is you've just given the rich people access to everything and the poor people no access.
Yeah. And... I don't think South By has been around for 25 years, I think. And obviously, it was not like that way back in the day. And the bigger it becomes, the bigger the bands, you know, that want to come in and just kind of play it because, like, yeah, we dropped in at South By. We're fucking the Black Keys, or, you know.
Yeah.
And it helps the festival because it's like, oh, this band, it was a surprise appearance by Muse. They played at the whatever that bar, Stubbs, or whatever, which is an actual, I saw them there, like that one year, yeah.
Wow.
And it was like a secret surprise appearance, but you could only get in if you had like a special gold, silver fucking laminate or some shit or with some whatever color.
I got this. I can't get in here.
Yeah. So you're limited by how much money you can spend getting into the festival. Yeah.
That's not a festival is like you just go wherever you want. If you want to stay at the main stage for hours before to make sure you get a front row seat, then you can.
So that festival, though, has never been like all the others. Like, say, like back in the day, there was like...
It's a neighborhood festival.
No, it's a showcase festival. Right. So you have like... They use all of downtown, and they just use the venues that are in downtown, and they have... It's mostly like kind of under the radar, underground bands. That's what made that festival popular.
Yeah, Sunset Strip is okay, because you get into everywhere. With any pass, you get in everywhere.
Yeah, it's one general admission pass, and then you're on the lawn area. Or the arena or whatever the outdoor the layout is, and then you can go see everything.
Right.
So South By it's more of like it's a showcase festival. So like years ago, you would go, and then you could just pretty much probably get into a lot more things. There'd probably be lines just because of the capacities of certain bars. It's like, look, we only hold 220.
Yeah.
400 people love this band. But South By is good to see bands that aren't, because Coachella and like all these other festivals, like you're seeing established bands.
Yeah, but earlier
in
the day, you see bands like Bumbello, or who do we see in those Egyptians wearing the turbans?
Oh, Bombino.
It's like you see the bands like that early on in the afternoon, during the daytime.
Yeah,
and they don't put their full show on, but still pretty fun.
Yeah, and South By is pretty much like say the Coachella lineup from. Noon to like 5 p.m. before all the big bands.
Right.
They specialize in that because they, you know, that's where you
get launched.
Discovered. Yeah,
you don't get launched at those other festivals. Now, how is that different? Now, when you see, let's just say Coachella, how has that jumped a shark? Has that become too popular?
I would say so, but
when they start doing two weekends in a row, the same exact lineup, and that would sell out. Instantly.
It would sell out. It sells out now. Before the lineups are announced,
they doubled the capacity. They did 2 weeks instead of one, and
sells
it still
out instantly.
Sells out. Wow,
that's when you know it's like, is it really about? Are people really going for the music?
Well, because if you generally get great bands, and we can trust Coachella to book great bands. Oceaga always books great bands. This year was like an off year, and it's still really good.
Mm-hmm.
So I know if they're like, "Hey, you want Oceaga tickets for next year?" I'm like, "Yeah, sight unseen, sure, I'll go to that."
But relative to what is the thing?
Other music festivals that I know of.
But you have to compare a festival's lineup to like their older, what they originally were doing.
Oh, right.
Like Coachella originally, they weren't booking like national. They weren't all about like, here are the biggest bands in the world.
Oh, wow.
Bonnaroo does that more.
Biggest they'll be in the like, world. Yeah, that's 100,000 people.
They'll be like Metallica, Kanye West, fucking Tom Fire. Petty, all these people. Oh, Coachella was was never like that. Like in the beginning, it started in 99, and it was like one day.
Oh.
You know, or like 2 days or something like that. And then they did a 2 day thing, and then like took a year off. They didn't even do it, and then they came back and did 1 day, and then they were doing 2 days for a little while. Then they went to three, and then it was three for a few years, and then they went to the last couple of years, 2 weekends in a row of Jesus. 3 days.
Jesus.
So when I first went, I went in 2006, it was a 2 day festival. So it was one weekend.
Friday, Saturday. Or Saturday, Sunday.
Or Saturday, Sunday, yeah.
Yeah.
Did
you camp?
Oh, yeah. Year one, we were going to camp, but then a friend of a friend was like, hey, they're getting this hotel. It's like a mile walking distance.
Perfect.
And if you guys chip in like $40, you can like
stay and then walk
crash on the floor.
Oh, so much easier.
Bring a sleeping bag. You can use showers.
So much easier.
So we're like, yeah, that sounds good. We don't even know what we're doing anyway at this festival. This sounds like a good deal. We'll be sleeping with these people who have been to like a bunch of them. And we did that. And then the first year we kind of hung out with the people we were staying with, and they had been to like three or four before. So they'd been going since like 2002 or something.
Oh, wow. Old timers.
And that's what you learn about festivals like this is like if you go in 2006 and you're like, wow, this is cool. And then you go for like 4 or 5 years. You'll be like, it's not what it used to be. 2006 was when it was good. But in 2006, I was talking to people that went in 2002, and they were like, it's not what it used to be. 2002 is way better.
Oh, wow, really?
So no matter what, it's always going
to
be...
Yeah, I don't want to be that person, because when it comes to music, you don't want to be the guy that I've always heard. It's like, nah, in my day, music was good. Mm-hmm. And then I start hearing my friends start talking that way.
Yeah, I mean, you've said it already, but with South by Southwest... You're like, it's over, it's selling
out.
Well,
when they had a giant Doritos stage that was shaped like a Doritos vending machine, I'm like, what is this?
But even 5 years before that, someone was like, they're selling out, man. They're booking bands I've heard of.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
I mean, it's kind of the nature of it. It's like any...
If you get more popular, money will get involved.
Yeah, money gets involved, and then you're playing to a bigger audience. Yeah. Like the Kings of Leon and Black Keys have that issue right now. But Kings of Leon have already been doing it, but they were a southern rock band just kind of playing music for themselves. Like, let's see what happens.
Yeah.
And it was like stripped down and raw and just southern rock. And then they kind of started getting more popular. And then
stadiums.
Their sound gets a little more refined. They're recording in better studios. So they have like...
People are like, oh, you're bad now.
Better engineers.
But you know what? I'd agree with a lot of them. When they say that, it's like, yeah, it's like I don't know. What made me like you, you don't longer have anymore.
Right. And then you're playing bigger venues. If you're playing arenas and stadiums, you eventually start writing songs to like play for a stadium.
Right. First thing.
So
they're
bigger sounds, more anthems, more hooks.
Outside Lands, we went to Outside Lands and we saw a band of horses.
Mm-hmm.
And a band like that at an outdoor venue, it's like they're pretty melodic and slow.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, it just doesn't kind of go well for that kind of venue. So what you said is a lot of those type of bands are like, play their jazziest songs.
They'll play
upbeat songs.
Yeah.
Because it's just like their natural thing does not go for 20,000 people on a lawn.
Yeah, it depends on what kind of stage you're on and like where, what time of day.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I saw Bon Iver in very first Outside Lands I went to.
Yeah, how was that, early?
It was like, early in the afternoon.
That sounds perfect. You can sit in the lawn like we did with Galern, just sort of half listen.
Yeah, that's we were the on right the time. Main stage, but he was playing like on a smaller stage, like tucked away in the back where we saw Head and the Heart.
Uh-huh.
Kind of like in the middle of like in this little valley where all these trees were around, and it was quiet, and that was perfect because he's mellow.
Yeah.
But you're like, this is great.
Small stage, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, where those hay bales were.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, let's get into this. What are some do's and don'ts for people at a music show?
Like a concert or a
concert
festival?
Concert or festival.
Okay. Let's start with concerts.
What time do you get there?
Okay. Well, now what you can do is you can look up pretty much all the information before you go.
Who's the opener? What time is it?
Exactly.
What time is the main band getting there?
Exactly. So if you're into like, you know, discovering new music, look up who the opening band is, and you can. There's usually going to be a link to a website, or you can go to their SoundCloud or wherever. You can fucking hear a couple songs. And if you're like, oh, I kind of like this, go early, check out the opening band, and that way, if it's a general admission thing, you can get right up front. Not a lot of people see the opening band. Not a lot of people care.
Yeah, you can get right up front.
Yeah, so if that's important to you, it's like, get there early. There won't be any lines at the bars. You can get a drink.
At Arcade Fire was cool because we got there for Devo. You found a way to go move way up.
Mm.
Then fucking Ben Morrison, whatever his name is, played on the other stage behind us. So everyone had to turn around.
Yeah.
And suddenly we were in the back, but that was okay because we all knew. Everyone knew there was like, don't leave. Stay in the back because this is the front in about 10 minutes.
Exactly. So there's sometimes like nowadays, opening bands are... They'll be paired better in certain ways. Like the, I don't know if it's like labels put them together. It's like you're with them, so you're like touring with them now or something. But
I feel like the main band gets to decide because they always say like, you know, give it up for our opening band. Like I always thought that. I don't know if it's based on anything, but I always get the feeling like we like you. You guys are a new band. We'd love to take you on the road, give you some more exposure.
Yeah, like I've heard the Rolling Stones will just be like their kids will like a band, and they'll be like, you should have them open, and they're like, all right,
call them.
And they took like Kings of Leon on tour with them once.
Really?
Like, yeah, shit like that.
Wow.
So I think the bigger, it's probably like in comedy, like the bigger the act, the more kind of power and leeway they have to be like, I'm bringing.
And maybe their agent will suggest somebody like, hey, you know, we have this new band that's really cool. Can I just play you one of their songs? They're like, all right. And the player's like, yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I like them.
Right.
Sure, have them come.
Mm-hmm.
How long have they been doing it? Yeah, sure.
And I feel like bands now
kind of like comedians.
They're packaged, like live shows are packaged a little more differently because there's. The money to be made in music is from your live shows and merch now versus like there's no CD sales and shit anymore. So you'll see like shit like, you know, two or three cool bands all playing one night at the Hollywood Bowl. And you're like, geez, those guys could probably all play on their own.
Yeah.
But they'll package them all in together.
Yeah, and you'll get Flaming Lips and White Denim together.
There you go. Yeah, something like that. Or like Phoenix and Passion Pit and some other band all playing one night at the Bowl.
Or live Veruca Salt and I forgot the last band I was playing when I was
I mean I like to sometimes get there early. If I go, oh, I know that opening band, it's like then you get a 2-for-1.
Yeah.
And absolutely. if you have seats
Devo
anywhere,
brah.
Yeah. Exactly. Like if we didn't look up who the openers were and we're like, fuck getting there early, that's a lot of standing. Let's just get there right before Arcade
Fire.
But
our tickets gave us free wine and a free handkerchief, a $30 handkerchief.
I know, the fucking bandana that they sell for $30.
That was too much. When he saw it in our gift bag, we were like, what is this even? Fuck this. And then we saw it behind the counter, $30.
And then I was like, oh, I want that. I definitely want to keep this.
Maybe they only have like 10 of them, but they just wanted to make the people with the gift bags feel better. So like, put up a high number on it. Just throw it up there.
Yeah.
Don't trust me. No one will buy it. It's worth it.
Yeah, yeah. Make it $100.
Yeah. It's worth $1.
Yeah, because the material's not that good.
It's very thin.
Yeah. And like kind of scratchy almost.
Yeah.
It would not be comfortable.
No.
But that's where the fucking bands make money now, merch. I like getting there early. If you like the opening band, it's like, do it. Because a lot of opening bands I've seen end up, you know, becoming...
massive. Yeah, becoming the big band.
And then you can look back one day and go, dude...
I saw them open. Blew them off the stage.
Yeah.
They always say that. Blew them off the stage. Nobody ever blows any headliner off the stage.
Sometimes, but usually not.
Only when the headliner sucks. I saw me and Big J were at Rock on the Range, a festival you would never go to. It was like Papa Roach, Avenged Sevenfold type people.
Oh, wow.
That's where I always make fun of Jay. But I'm like, you know, they look like one of your people, like an Avenged Sevenfold fan.
Yeah.
It was just more metal kind of people. So Smashing Pumpkins played headlined.
I hate this festival already.
Yeah. One night they headlined. And the night before, it wasn't Linkin Park. Maybe Korn headlined the night before. But it was an okay band, but Smashing Pumpkins, man, that guy fucking sucks. He's just stealing people's money.
Billy Corgan.
It's just him. He's the only one in the band, but he's got a girl and an Asian guy playing the stuff that Jim Iha would have played. And
he found a new Asian dude?
Yeah, and you're like, wait, is that James Iha? Maybe it is? Oh, okay. No, wait. No, that guy's young. Yeah. Oh, you just found someone to make it look like him.
That's weird.
It is weird. He plays all his old songs twice as fast to get through them. And then he plays his new songs like regular that nobody gives a shit about.
So he just does medleys of like all the old shit?
He just plays them on double speed. So he goes, instead of like, Despite All My Rage,
I'm still just around in a cage.
Exactly. He does it like that. And you're like, come on, man. Plus he's all Jesused out now. So he's like, he goes,
really?
God is empty, just like you. He like changes the lyrics.
Whoa.
Because he's all Jesused.
That's hilarious.
Dude, he's awful. He's just taking, it's fucking money grab. The place cleared out. We left before it was done. The place is half empty. When we left, I was like, no, come on. It's Smashing Pumpkins. We got to stay for a little. Let's turn it around.
Yeah.
And then we left maybe 20 minutes early. And it was like, there was nobody there.
Fuck that.
Bush. I saw Bush earlier in the night.
Mm-hmm. I bet they were all right.
Rocked it.
Yeah.
played into the crowd, play Hey Jude, and went into the crowd with his guitar, with fucking cordless guitar, went all around the stadium. It was great.
That's funny.
It was great.
Yeah, a lot of those like 90s bands where you go like, oh, those guys. It's like, I mean, you probably don't like their music anymore maybe, but like if you see them live, they're skilled musicians. They're going to put on a good show.
If it comes down to that, if you enjoy playing this music, mm-hmm. I will get something out of it.
Yeah.
If you're enjoying playing it. If just that's the minimum of what you have to do to rock it.
Mm-hmm.
Just enjoy this. You can add fucking TV monitors and light shows and confetti and all that stuff. But the base to put on a good show is you got to really be into playing this.
Yeah, and know what you're doing. And a lot of those bands, I mean, there's a reason they became at least moderately successful. It's like they know how to play their fucking instruments. And they toured for years, so it's like they know how to put on a show.
Yeah.
Like I saw Counting Crows and Toad the Wet Sprocket open for him.
Yeah.
And both, I mean, I already really like Counting Crows, but Toad the Wet Sprocket, you're like, yeah, they had those like one or two songs. But you watch them play and you go, these guys, like, they're professionals. They play very well. Yeah. I'm interested in this. This is cool to watch right now for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And it was like fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
So it's like opening, if you don't
if you know how to play it. Who was the best, by the way, of people we saw with experience playing live? Who did we see in the last year that had probably the most experience playing live?
Who, me and you?
Yeah.
Oh, probably Nine Inch Nails. Or, you know, no, Paul McCartney.
You got it now. Yeah. You're like, Nine Inch Nails, he was, oh, wait, I get it.
Yeah.
Played for 3 hours.
Yeah.
Did 3 hours, never stopped running around and jumping. Mm-hmm. Man, that guy was great. Plus, I heard him in an interview later, and he said, they're like, how do you play the music? Do you try to do, like, new spins on it? He goes, the people love it the way we recorded it.
Yeah.
So I want to give them what they grew up listening to. Mm-hmm. I play it the way it was recorded.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, he put on a show. Sign those girls' arms, and then we're going to get tattoos
that
right over
that. That was the greatest. I still tell people that story where I go, he's so cool that he saw these girls holding up a sign saying, please sign our arms and we'll get it tattooed on us. So he has...
They sign their wrists.
Security, bring these two girls on stage. There are like 40,000 people watching him. And these girls come up, and they're like these two little girls.
They're like
and
they're, 17.
They're holding their signs, and they're like shaking. And he goes, he's like, hi, young girls. And they're looking at a beetle, which has got to be like probably more nerve-wracking than 40,000 people. Because they're like, well, those are just regular humans. This is a beetle.
Yeah.
And he's like, what are your names? Like, Katie and Sarah. Where are you guys from? Idaho. their accents, you're like, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened to these girls.
Yeah.
Like, what happens in Idaho? Nothing. Right now, they're like, I'm on stage at a music festival. I'm talking to a beetle. This is insane.
Yeah.
And he goes, so if I sign your arm, you're going to get this tattooed on you. They're like, yeah. And then everyone starts cheering, and he signs their arms and goes, all right, thanks, girls. And then he just starts fucking rocking out again.
That signature on their wrist, they're going to go right to a tattoo shop and just tattoo over that.
Yeah. It's crazy.
It's amazing. Cool tattoo.
And I remember I saw him a few years before that at Coachella, and it was not good.
Really?
Yeah, it was like he went on late. He was one of the headliners, obviously. So he went on at like 10:40 p.m.
That's when Coachella's headliners go on?
Yeah, they go on like anywhere between like 10 and 10:30, usually 10:40, and they play till midnight. So the headliners get like an hour and change. And it was like he was playing like a lot of slow stuff, and like people were just, you could feel them going like, where are the Beatles songs? And like, and it, dude, it's like a 12-hour-a-day festival, and it's in the desert. It's not like Outside
People
Lands where it's like,
out.
Oh, it's 68.
People
it's
are
great.
Worn out.
And they're just like, dude, and I remember I was feeling the same way. And I'm like, I thought this was going to at least be more uplifting. And he's talking about like, today is the eve of Linda's passing or whatever. And I remember.
Nobody cares about her like you did.
Yeah. And I remember going, when he was saying that, I was already like annoyed. No, obviously drunk. I just remember yelling. And he goes, it's the eve of Linda's passing. And I just go, buzzkill, as loud as I could. And you heard a couple people laugh. But then I heard a voice from the right going, what? Who the fuck said that? Whoever said, I will fuck you up, whoever said that. And I was like, shit, like, we got to go the other way from where this, I don't know who it was.
I will fuck you up.
But it was some angry voice. And I'm like, we got to walk the opposite direction of that angry voice right now, because I'm not getting, you know. And we walk off.
I don't want repercussions.
And then we watch like another like 30 minutes, and you end up playing like Hey Jude. And we're just like, dude, this is like, we need something fucking more uplifting. This is too much. Let's get out of here. But this performance at Outside Lands was like, was incredible.
What do you prefer, giant festivals like that, or a small place like the Troubadour or Viper Room or Key Club, or you know, places like that? What do you prefer?
I like for a while, I preferred the festivals because I was like physically able to just kind of like
I do enjoy this. The festival aspect of it that way, where you can take a pot cooker, get some ecstasy, and walk around all day, sit on the lawn, lie down, get up, do some other stuff, get something to eat. You're eating almost twice while you're there.
You're eating a lot because you're in the heat,
drinking.
And you're walking constantly. Yeah. You're walking like 10 miles a day or some shit. Like,
but then also
real.
You just like me and Jeff Ross at Oceago. We just like walked away at some point and found this river, this creek that was going through everything, and people were like wading into, and we're just sort of out there watching, smoking pot, and was like, I guess there's music going off in the background, but it's just nice, like, you can just have an experience.
It's also
like outside when we saw that girl barfing in the woods.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
And
they
yelled at us, like, you want to take a picture? I'm not the one who got drunk. She is.
Right.
Why don't you help? I wasn't going to help anyway.
Yeah, that's what the fuck those cops are there for. They'll help.
I may as well take a picture.
I liked festivals better for a while because of those reasons and because you get to watch a lot of bands.
Yeah, you get to watch a lot of bands. Yeah.
So you're like, okay, I've wanted to see these 30 fucking bands. I get to watch them all in 2 days.
What about giant like stadium rock versus club rock?
I liked smaller venues almost 100% of the time.
Yeah, I like those a lot.
There's certain bands, if they put on like really...
If I go to the Viper Room and see almost anybody... You know, yeah. It's full.
Like I like a medium sized venue. Like the
Viper Room is tiny. Troubadour is medium sized. House of Blues is medium sized, I guess.
Maybe a little
it's
bit
a little big. Yeah,
yeah. As far as a club, like
Troubadour is probably Troubadour is a little big, I guess.
Troubadour is like small to medium. The Fonda is like a medium sized, venue. Palladium is medium to large.
Saw Carol Burnett at the Fonda.
Oh wow!
With Laura Valdivia.
Interesting.
Yeah, I went to see Carol Burnett interview one of the guys on the Carol Burnett show. I forgot. They just had a long talk.
Oh, wow.
It's pretty cool.
That's random as fuck.
You know what
else is
random?
The Wilterns. You're going to fart. Yeah. The Wiltern is a large... That's like a theater. It's a large venue, but that's a good one.
Why did I fart in the mic and then put it right to my face?
Idiot. I like the clubs better. It's more intimate, and especially if like a big band that you like is playing a small venue, you're like, I can see them up close. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Looks like the old.
I saw
days.
Muse in the seats. You know where the people. You know where the people were. By the way, how hilarious was it when he went and told that guy? So they're walking in. Arcade Fire walks in through the crowd.
Yeah.
From the back of the room, cuts through the crowd in between the main stage and the stage behind him, where they do stuff.
The center stage.
Yeah. And. They're walking around, and then they're in between the people standing up and the people in the seats. And the guy's sitting down, and he stops and goes, what's his name?
Wynn Butler.
Why would you be sitting down right now? And the guy just like sitting there, and then he stands up, and he's filming him. And he goes, tell me what possible reason you could have for sitting down while this is happening. And he gives him the mic.
And the guy goes,
and then when he's like, all right.
Turns around and just smiles and shrugs his shoulders. Yeah, okay. Like,
and then
right.
He gets back to the dancing. They're all coming in.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, but if you're sitting in those seats. So I had those seats for Muse, but further back, like kind of even with the center stage.
Yeah.
And I went with that girl, Aaron, that I went out with.
Mm-hmm. You okay?
I'm okay.
Okay.
She moved in with a new guy, so it's like, oh, fuck. Ooh. Now we really can't buck.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was cool and all, but you couldn't move. You couldn't be like, I want to go closer for this song. I want to get in there. You can't do that. You're stuck where it is. Outdoor festivals, you can always move forward and back.
Yeah, you have a way more options.
Yeah,
so,
and clubs, you're always already there.
That's a good way. Like, for example, I've seen Tool a million times.
Yeah.
And I remember one year, I was like, well, they're playing the very first Coachella I went to. They played that. And I was like, oh, here's my chance to see them up close.
Yeah.
And I saw him at another festival in San Diego called Street Scene that they no longer do. And I was like, you know what? I've never seen Tool in the front row. That's going to be my goal this year.
So you got up in the front row.
So I got fucking all the way up to the front. And it was like chaos. They had to stop playing because it was so...
Wow.
There were so many people like crammed in and all moving to the front that like there was a point in time where I was being squished in so much that I was starting to be squished upwards.
Nice.
And I was not... standing on the ground. I was vertical, but I was like looking down. I'm like, my feet aren't touching the ground.
Wow.
That's how many people are. And it was swaying, and there people were being squished up so much that they were essentially like kind of laying on top of the crowd, like almost like I'm unintentionally crowd surfing right now. So Tool had to stop playing, and they go, listen, guys, you guys need to like relax a little bit. You guys need to like step back and apart. You got to let people breathe. Like, this is. You got to let people breathe. You got to let people move. and they stopped and they waited till everyone did it. Like, look, we want you to have fun. We're glad you're enjoying this, but you gotta. There are people that are like horizontal right now. Like, you gotta like relax, and everyone kind of like spreads out a little bit. And I remember I got, when that show ended, I walked out, and you don't feel it while it's happening, but I was soaking wet from sweat.
Sweat, yeah.
I took out my wallet, and everything in it was ruined.
Was wet?
Yeah.
Wow.
Ruined. All like wow. A few business cards, money.
Ruined.
I mean, wow. The wallet was, it was over. The wallet was done.
That's pretty cool.
It was really great.
You know, there are some fun, cool places. Oh, we still got to get to the do's and don'ts, but
yeah,
there's some fun places to watch a concert from. And if you can get a good seat, sometimes it can really enhance your experience.
Yeah, if you have, if you're watching a band, like let's say,
where should you stand? Where should you go?
Radiohead, Tool, Nine Inch Nails.
I saw Radiohead with Christy at Hollywood Bowl. Uh-huh. Way too far away. We're just watching the monitors.
How long ago was that?
10 years ago.
Okay. Yeah, their live show's a little different now. They use more visuals.
Oh.
So that's why I'm using them as examples, like Nine Inch Nails. They had all the rotating screens and all that shit.
They put on a good concert.
Bands like that are like, you could say you watch them at like Staples Center or whatever. Think of it, whatever stadium's in your town. You can sit up in the seats, like in the back, and that's fine because there's a visual show going on. So you don't need to like see what the fuck Trent Reznor's doing up there, like standing, you know, because there's a visual experience accompanying the music. So I prefer to watch bands like that from across the venue up in a seat looking down.
Right.
I like that. So bands like that, I think it's cool to sit in the back. It's not always about being on the floor and being up close. Because I once saw Tool two nights in a row, once up in the seats, cool visuals. The next night we were on the floor and I was like, oh wait, I can't see all the shit I saw last night.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this actually isn't as good.
Oh.
I want to be up in the seats.
Right. Yeah, sometimes you do. First time I saw Flaming Lips with Ross at mm-hmm. Oceaga.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew Wayne Coyne from Bonnaroo.
Mm-hmm.
So it was so fucking cool. Jeff had just done my storyteller show. And then we're outside smoking a J outside this tranny strip club.
Right.
And then just talking. And I didn't even know that was the first time I met Jonas from Comedy Central.
Right.
He was there too. We're all smoking a joint. And Wayne Coyne just walks by, and he goes, "Jeff," and Jeff's like, "Oh, hey, Wayne, what's up?" Like he's like, "I'm just here playing a festival, just walking around. What are you doing here?" I was like, "Oh, we just finished a festival." And he goes, "Oh, well, if you want to come to my show tomorrow, you know, I can get you in." And then Jeff's like, "You want to stay an extra day, man?" And he gave me the thought, which I like, where he's like, "Don't make the festival all about work."
All about what?
Work.
Yeah.
Don't make Montreal Comedy Festival just all about work. He goes, "Let's take an extra day. This will be all fun."
Mm-hmm.
And the festival changed our tickets. We just had to pay for an extra day hotel. And he got us in. I mean, it was Death Cab for Cutie. And we were backstage at all that shit. And then Flaming Lips headline. And Jeff introduced them. And we watched from the side of the stage. It was great. Man,
cool.
I was crying. It was such a great show.
Yeah.
But I was with all that confetti and the balloons and the lasers are shooting out into the audience.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, I got to be in the audience for this next time.
Yeah, yeah. That's one where actually both is cool.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
If
there
you're sitting far away, you can see all the spectacle they put
on it.
And then if you're in it, that's cool too. There's balloons
and
confetti.
When Arcade Fire dropped those balloons yesterday and they kept popping up. First of all, they were up for a while. People kept throwing them back up. It got too long after a while. But like, with that and the confetti, it's like just being around it and seeing the band.
Yeah.
Seeing Regine or whatever her name is.
Yeah, Regina.
Like, yeah, behind like all these like with confetti and balloons. It's just fucking rad, man. They're playing and it's like, yay, we're having fun.
Yeah, it was like, you felt like kind of like a kid.
Yeah.
They just put on like this like fun party type show.
Oh, it was great.
It was and it was nonstop.
Nonstop.
For two
hours. I mean, he stopped at one point when he goes, the monitor, you got to put that monitor on. The monitor's off.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, everybody. Oh, here we go.
But even that, when that happened, I was like, let's see how they handle this. Because they've been a band for, 10, 12 years.
Yeah, he started a different song. That's what he did.
He played a song that My Body is a Cage. He played that song. And that's one that's
until the monitors came on.
It's almost a cappella. There's like barely any instruments. So it's like,
this is a cage. Yeah.
We can do this song while whereas
and
other bands.
As soon as he heard that monitor go back on, he was like, we're switching.
Boom.
And he stopped in the middle of that song and went right back into his playlist.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of younger bands will like, they'll complain or just bullshit into the mic. It's like, no, do something.
Yeah.
That's shit you gain from experience, I
suppose. They're good. They're so fucking good.
They're really good. That's like the third or fourth time I've seen them, something like that.
First time I saw them was at Blues Fest in Ottawa. there with Slayton and Mike Wilmot and a couple other guys. And I think they all wanted to do coke or something. And I might have had mushrooms that day, or I might not have. No, it was a different day I had them. Uh-huh. But I went out and saw them and sat in the VIP section for a while, which is on the side, you know, not on the side of the stage, but side in the crowd, but on the side of in the crowd. Right. And then I was like, what am I? And then I just fucking left that. I'm like, what am I going to be elite here so I can get a seat and not enjoy it and go into the crowd? It's just so much better sometimes.
Wait, in the crowd?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Jay and I, though, Jay had done a lot of those corn tours,
mm-hmm.
And the festivals they used to play, whatever that was. What festival did corn used to play? Because a couple times the fucking, those guys with the painted faces, the Juggalos, were there too.
Oh, yeah. The Insane Clown Posse.
Yeah. So yeah. What festival would have had both of those guys on them?
Douchapalooza?
No. Yeah, you're right. Anyway, but Jay was like, look, I've done this before, man. So I'd done Oceaga before. And then Jay was like, let's see if we can go on stage. I'm like, how can we go on stage? He goes, dude, we got these artist passes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I know, but they're going to know that we're not really musicians and stuff. He goes, dude, they don't care. We're performers here. It's not like we're getting over on them. We're allowed to go there. Right. And so we went to see Black Keys, and we stood in between the crowd and the stage. Like in that way.
Side stage.
No. Like, you know how when they have crowd surfers and they have people in the front catching all the crowd surfers? Yeah, the press pit.
Yeah.
You can stand right there in front of everybody. And just like,
that's a great place to stand.
Amazing.
I remember years ago.
Amazing.
There was this zine that or magazine, online magazine that was like, hey, we want you to cover some LA bands for us.
To you?
Yeah. Because they were based in San Diego.
Yeah.
And there's this comic that had like a connection there. He's like, dude, you live in LA, you love music. This magazine will like give you tickets to shit, and then you just go shoot some fucking pictures and then like send them to us and maybe write like a couple blurbs or whatever.
And you get to stand there.
And I was like, here's all the concerts that are coming up. Fucking send me to them. Wow. And I remember they sent me to this Gogol Bordello show at the Palladium. And I show up, and there are tickets, a VIP wristband, and an after-party wristband, all just here, and then a press pass. So, and here's what happens with the press passes, by the way. The press, the photographers and stuff, are only allowed to be down there for the first, like, two or three songs.
Yeah, then they gotta go. Then they gotta go. That's when we moved in. We're like, oh, no, take out the space. Yeah. They all left. We're like, can we go there? And people are like, sure.
Yeah. So I went in there. I didn't know that at the time. I was just like, dude, I get to fucking take some photos and then just watch the show from here. And they're like, three songs, you're out. I'm like, oh, fuck. So I'm sitting there. I had this shitty little digital camera. And I'm looking to my left and right. And there are just these people. Like, one of them has a camera bag and a nice camera. They're changing lenses. And I'm like, oh, I'm amongst professionals right now. And I look over. I'm like, hey, what's up? What's your name? And she's like, oh, whatever, Sarah or something. Who do you work for? Spin? I was like, ooh, okay. And then like, she's like, oh, yeah, that's so-and-so. He works for like Rolling Stone. And she's like, who do you work for? And I'm like, just this magazine. This
HTTP dot dot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
/ www.
Yeah, dot musicfan.com. So I like sat there and tried to take the best photos I could. But I'm literally like, I'm basically on stage. I'm like leaning on to it with like my left elbow down onto the stage under the lead singer, like taking photos. Like the way that you see him in magazines.
Yeah, exactly.
It was really cool. And I was like, this is so awesome. And then they kick you out after three songs. But then you just like, you can just stand basically in the front.
Yeah.
And I watched the whole show. And then afterwards, they were like, look, if you can talk to the lead singer and get like a couple quotes from him, that'd be great. No, that's what that after party thing is for. Okay, cool. So the after party is up on the roof.
That must be annoying for them because everyone I talk to, like halfway through, like, thanks, I got it. You're like, got it. I was talking to you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Huh.
So I'm like, this is kind of like I've never done this before. I'm like, I guess I don't know, go up to him. And
yeah.
So I go up there and I'm like, where is he? Where's he going to be? I wonder if he even going to be there. I get right up. So you walk up the stairs of the of the Fonda, and it's just this rooftop thing, right?
Oh, yeah.
So the second I get to the top of the stairs, I'm like, okay, search is over. He's literally standing in front of me. But he's so drunk. Because during the show, I forgot, he was just drinking out of a bottle of wine the entire show.
Wow.
And who knows how many bottles in he was by the time he started.
Yeah, he started.
So I get up there, and he is in between two of the hottest models I've ever seen. Arm over one, right arm over the other, and they're basically propping him up like the hottest crutches ever made. And he's just like this, and he's still got a bottle of wine in his hand, and he's just like swaying kind of back and forth. And these models are just like, we're just happy to be here. And he's just standing there, and I was like, hey, dude, you know, great show. I'm with whatever magazine. I'm like, and I can't remember what I asked him because his answers were like incoherent. So I'm like, hey, so how do you like touring in Los Angeles? Because I've always heard people say like LA crowds suck because they're just like, we're fucking better than everybody, yeah. You know? So, and he goes, and I was like, okay. And then I asked him like one more thing and I was like, okay, yeah, this guy's just hammered. I don't want to bother him anymore. And then I just kind of like walked around a little bit. I'm like, let's see what's like. Elijah Wood was hanging out there with someone else. Really? Just like famous people. And then you're like, all right, this is kind of lame now. And I just like, I had a spot at the store. I had to leave.
I remember Fun did that, made fun of LA crowds. Like, come on, guys, when they play that free show at the House of Blues.
Oh, no. They were making fun of LA crowds. He was just being a whiny fucking...
No, they were, I'm saying. Who? The guy from Fun?
The lead singer of Fun.
He was like, "What? Come on, you guys, get into the show." And here's all I remember. People were like a little bit into it. There wasn't a lot of people there because they didn't publicize it at all.
Yeah.
And I remember turning to looking at you on the side, looking at your cell phone, just texting away, not enjoying it at all.
Yeah, I wasn't really a big fan of them anyway. And I saw him playing. I'm like, this is kind of lame. And then that's what you saw was me on my phone. It was right after what the guy said. He goes, "Oh, you know what, guys? I'm sorry that our songs are interrupting your talking, so maybe we'll just play like a couple more and leave." And I'm like, you fucking pussy. Fuck you and your band. And then I'm in my phone now. I'm done. This is stupid. You're whining to the crowd. How about play more rock and roll? How about play louder and harder and don't complain with your fucking like... He's standing up there barefoot with fucking overalls and like a straw hat on. I'm like, you put more time in your stupid fucking outfit than your dumb fucking songs. Just because you get compared to Freddie Mercury doesn't make you automatically a genius. Try harder. Maybe people will listen. Fucking idiot.
Yeah.
But instead of yelling all that, I'm like, I'll just play with my phone.
I'll just get on my phone.
Just be LA. Not be angry. It really drove me insane.
Yeah, I get that. I saw him on the way up, and I didn't know what to say. Like when we're going to the back room, me and Edgar and a bunch of Tony and Simbari and stuff.
Yeah.
And then I realized, like, I'm a comedian. Sometimes I sit and talk after a show, and you know, if I'm in the middle of a conversation, I want somebody coming up and like saying anything to me. Nothing's gonna like I'm talking. No, there's nothing you're gonna say that's gonna be better than the conversation we're already in.
Right.
But so I like looked and I was like, nope, and I just turned and fucking kept walking.
Yeah.
I was like, yes, wait, not bother them. And then Edgar said the best. He just goes, as he passed, he just goes, killed it, guys, and then kept walking. I was like, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, you just always say something like that, like, great job.
Yeah.
Or sometimes it's like,
don't wait for a response.
You imagine those guys don't even want to talk, like, they've heard
everything.
They've heard, good job, I really love your stuff, I'm a huge fan, I've been there since the beginning, blah, blah. Yeah. It's like, just talk about other shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just talk about I saw Head in the Heart like a few months ago at the Wiltern, and we're hanging out with them after the show, like in their dressing rooms, and we're just chilling and stuff. And I was like, and the conversation was just natural anyway, and it was just about like stuff to do in LA or wherever. And we literally just talked about regular shit.
Dude, that's what I'm telling you about those guys. Like the one person comes up and is like, I'm a huge fan. I was like, oh, cool, thanks. It's like, you know, I saw you last time. I was like, oh, okay, awesome, thanks. But you're so funny. It's like, okay, cool. There's nothing I can say other than thanks, okay.
Right.
And he keeps doing it and doing it. It's like, it's 5 minutes. You're just throwing praise at me, and it's fucking annoying.
Yeah.
I don't have nothing to say. And then the other guy we saw after the Zany show, because we did a Zany show to pay for this Arcade Fire trip.
Right.
That was the plan. I was like, let's just get a Chicago date, and then I'll just get a date to pay for it, the day before, the day after.
Yeah.
And so he was like, oh, how was that Arcade Fire show? And we're both like, oh, awesome. They come there. It's like, just talk about something unrelated to myself.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to talk about that.
Yeah, we just talked about, like, we were talking about, like, fucking cool places to eat in L.A.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I live here. You guys should totally try this.
Oh, really?
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, because there's a place like that in Seattle. Like, oh, yeah, next time I go up there, I'll try it. And
exactly.
It's like,
regular conversation.
Because they are just people. They're not, like, praise monsters that need you to worship them. It's like
Paul Mooney needs it. Most people don't need it.
Right. Say a nice thing or two, great, and then like move on and talk about regular shit.
Say it at the end of it. So if you're having a 20-minute conversation, like at the end, like, oh, by the way, I heard that podcast you did on so-and-so. Fucking loved it.
Right.
Or, you know, whatever. Later.
Yeah. I was talking to Adam Duritz, the Counting Crows guy, and he was telling me, he goes, he's like, yeah, it was a fun show. And he's like, except that there was just this guy in the front who was like looking down or like looking like around and just not paying attention to the show. And he was just like, it's kind of weird at first. And he said this jokingly. He's like, I wanted to just like take a, you know, the lead singer sometimes will take a sip of water and go and just kind of spray it out.
Yeah.
And he's like, I want, because he did that, and he goes, I almost wanted to take the sip and spray it right in his direction.
Yeah.
And he said that, he's like, but then I didn't. And then it occurred to me, I'm like, a lot of lead singers do that. I wonder how often it's somebody directly at someone who's like been texting for half the show.
Exactly.
So I asked him, I'm like, wait a minute, is that like a inside bit of knowledge I just learned about lead singers? He's like, oh yeah, maybe. I wouldn't have really done that. That's just kind of, that's like immature or whatever. But I'm like, but people do that, right? He's like, I'm sure they do.
Like, yeah, but it's not like he goes to lead singer school where he's like, I know what they all do. He's the only lead singer he ever sees other than when they were opening.
Yeah, but you know, you're friends with a lot of
bands.
Yeah,
I guess,
and
so,
you know,
maybe they talk.
It's just like, we know a lot of comics and, you know.
Hey, I go to the bathroom and then change my laundry over. Let's pause on this. But real quick, because I forgot to do this at the beginning, let's do some dates. You have any dates coming up?
Oh yeah. This comes out this
Monday.
Okay, so that'll be the 1st of September. That for September 5th and 6th, Gotham Comedy Club
in New York City.
Yeah. A lot of people are always like, when are you coming to fucking New York?
Bobby Lee.
It's happening now.
September 5th and 6th.
Yeah, Gotham. And then I'm doing a bunch of shows at The Stand, also in New York. I'm basically in New York from September 5th through the 16th, and I'll be doing shows practically every night. Go to nickyousef.com. I'm posting all of them there. Follow me on Twitter at
Nick Youssef. No, we'll do that part later, the Twitter part, just the dates.
But they'll all be there. And then the end of September 25th, 6th, and 7th, the DC Improv.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Love the DC Improv.
And that's it for right now.
We're both with Bobby?
Yeah.
Okay, here's mine real quick. Calgary, September 18th, 19th, and 20th. Followed by Denmark. Everything's on my website so far. And then I got Denmark. I got England for London for the first 6 days of October.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And then 3 dates getting ready for my special before my special is Dayton, Ohio at this place called Wrigley's or something. Hopefully the tickets are on sale, but they might not be yet. And San Diego, California at the San Diego American Comedy Company. I'm doing that. You guys, if you saw me in San Diego doing my hour like 4 months ago, it's going to be the same shit pretty much. So you don't have to come. And if you're coming to my special, you don't have to come. But anyone who's not coming to my special and who has not seen it, go to the Gas Lamp. And why not? Have fun. And then the last one is in Appleton, Wisconsin at Skyline.
Oh, real quick.
And then my special, October 29th. Yes, Nick, you have another thing. Oh, and my storyteller show. The lineups are out now, everybody. So I'll post a link on the website, arithegreat.com. Rogan's doing them. He's doing the 9th. There's three days and 6 shows. So you can only go to 1 show each day. So pick which ones you want to go to and fill them all up because we're taping this for TV. Yes, what else, Nick, real quick?
If you live in LA, I'm doing the Meltdown again. Best show in Los Angeles, October 15th.
I just had Jonah Ray on my podcast a couple weeks ago.
Jonah's great.
All right, so now let's talk about, oh, by the way, for that festival when I saw the Black Keys, they weren't even going to play it first. Because the rain was going so high and the wind was going. The scaffolding, you know, they have those giant hooks. They were blowing like really high up in the air. The hooks the size of your fucking skull. They were like flying around.
Dude.
They were like, oh, fuck. And this was the same stage that like 3 days later, Cheap Trick, the fucking stage fell and injured all those people. This is that same stage.
And they didn't fix it?
Yeah, well, they tried to fix it. So they're like, we're not playing. The rain started coming down a little bit.
It's lost.
The people
city.
At JFL that had booked us there, they had come down. Mm. They're like, you know what? We're leaving. We're heading back to Montreal. I was like, you guys are crazy. They haven't said no show yet. And it's been like 30 minutes after they're supposed to go on. And I'm like, some people are staying. Some people are starting to leave. It's over. Because they had to end at 11. They have a hard out, you know?
Yeah.
And now it's like, they're supposed to get on 9:30. Now it's like 9:50 and they're not on yet. And you're like,
yeah.
God. So people start leaving. It's raining also. But we were undercover because we could go in the VIP area where they eat the dinners and stuff. I saw fucking Auerbach and the other guy.
Yeah.
And I was like, are you guys playing or not? And they were like sort of walking like 20 yards away. And he kind of looked and looked back away. I'm like, fuck, just tell me if you guys are going on or not.
Yeah.
I want to know if I should stay. And then fucking about 10:05, 10:06, they fucking... We're starting. They never got the word that the show is canceled. And I'm like, until they tell us it's canceled, why would I leave? I'm already here. Why would I leave? Yeah. And they got on about 10:05, started playing, played till about... Once 11 came, we're like, oh, they got to end at 11. Once 11:02 came, we're like, they're breaking curfew! and they played till about 11:30. Yeah. It was fucking great. And we sat in between the stage and the fucking audience. Man.
I remember I was at Coachella 1 year, and the curfew is like midnight, and then I heard you get fined if you go over.
That's what it is.
So Prince was headlining that year. And it was the first time I saw Prince. It was going to be fucking amazing. And he goes on like, it's like almost 11. We're like, fuck, he's not going to play that long. And he goes on, and the band is playing for like 2-3 minutes. We're like, where the fuck is Prince? He comes on. He's just kind of like walking around with his guitar. He's not saying anything, not playing the guitar. He's just kind of looking around for a little bit. And then he stops, and he goes up to the mic. And he's like, no matter what else is going on, you're in the coolest place in the world right now. Like at his performance specifically. Wow. It was, and everyone just went nuts. And he played, and then he went past curfew by like an hour and a half. He just kept going. He's covering Beatles songs. He's just covering Radiohead songs. Wow. He's just going and going. He's like, I ain't stopping.
Yeah, once you realize, once it becomes like 1 minute, 2 minutes past curfew, and everyone's like, maybe my clock's wrong. But then at like 11:03 or whatever, 3 minutes past curfew is, everyone feels it. He's going past, and everyone just like, woo!
Yeah.
We're keep going.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
It's really great. And it's like, of course Prince is going to do that. He's Prince. Yeah. Damn it.
We also sat, because Jay said the best place to see a show, like Mike Black always says about movies, you want to see in the middle of that IMAX, get the surround sound perfectly.
Uh-huh.
So Jay's like, sound booth. The sound stage is like in the middle, the center stage kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where they set up the whatever. Sometimes they break the crowd from one half to the other half,
right,
like left or right. So we got access to that with our artist pass, and there was this big thing up top where you could walk like up this giant ladder and like a little, and we went up there, and there was a cooler there with some beers. We started drinking beers.
Right.
We watched this band for like an hour, and then somebody came up and was like, hey, no, you can't be up here. This is super windy and dangerous, and also these are specific people.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, okay. So we left. She was cool about it. But I think that was Perfect Circle.
Okay.
And then we took a bunch of mushrooms. No, it was somebody else. We took a bunch of mushrooms for Perfect Circle. So it was Black Keys, Perfect Circle, and somebody else with the three headliners while we were there.
Okay.
So we took mushrooms, Perfect Circles. Jay was into them. I was like, I don't know.
Yeah, they're really good.
Yeah, but cool band.
Yeah.
Lead singer goes off in the dark in the background. He's like, it's not about me, it's about the music.
He doesn't do that for a Perfect Circle.
Yeah.
Did he really?
Yeah, I didn't know if he did it for anywhere else.
Oh, well, he does that for Tool, but usually Perfect Circle, he's like, he has got a wig on, long hair, and he's up
off
front.
The background side, yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so then on these mushrooms, it was cool and all with the visuals, it was a little bit, but then we would go to the porta potty in the sound area.
Right.
And there was this lattice work on the top to let some light in. So the fucking moonlight or the lights that would shine in, it would just have this, like, it would shine in this pattern. Every time we go in there, we told each other later, we were both like, whoa. We just stare at inside this porta potty lattice work.
Yeah.
Fucking music. All right, let's get into the do's and don'ts. But hold on, I got to pee and change my laundry. We'll have another one soon. Dude, this fucking Airbnb is making me think that I don't want to do Airbnbs anymore. Because sometimes you get good ones. The one in Minneapolis was fucking amazing. The lake. Yeah. But this one's like, it's fucking garbage.
Well, like I said earlier, you just take this as a lesson as to, like, next time it says something, look a little harder, or, like, you know, just...
Even washer dryer. It's like, oh, washer dryer? Awesome. He didn't have a washer dryer. He has one in the unit we have to pay for. You don't have detergent I can use.
When you're looking at Airbnbs, are you allowed to message people and go...
You're allowed to message them. Does it have this and that? Because I got fooled once with air mattress, but it did say air mattress, but in a listing of, like, where were you going to look at what mattress type it has?
Right.
These mattresses are uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. There's fucking dirt all over the floor.
Right.
And a sweep.
So I'd say next time, the two or three things where you're like, oh, I need those, but you're like, you know what, they're not being clear, just message the person.
Just message them.
Be like, hey, what do you mean by washer dryer? In unit, downstairs, this and that. And then, you know, it's a couple extra steps, but it'll make worth continuing to use Airbnb. Because it's, dude, look, this is my first
place. This place isn't terrible for like 130 a night, 140 a night, whatever it is, 150 a night, whatever it is, something like that.
Okay.
Maybe 157. It's not that bad. Two bedrooms.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be okay if you just cleaned it. If you actually had a maid come in and clean the whole place. I don't even know if the fucking sheets are clean.
I know.
Like, I'm not positive.
Yeah.
The floor is dirt. It was dirty.
Yeah.
One towel each.
I know.
No soap. No shampoo.
Yeah.
Just say that, by the way. I don't have any of that shit, so you better buy it on the way over here.
Yeah, bring your own toiletries.
We're a 20-minute walk away from the nearest anything, and you fucking now we see we don't have it.
Right.
When I texted him and said, hey, where's the laundry machine? I went all the way downstairs. I go, oh, it's in the back downstairs. There's two doors. It's one of them. Which one? Also, let me know. It's fucking 350. I need that many quarters. All right, I'm not going to let it get to me.
Yeah.
This place is fine. It's just like 2.5 stars.
Yeah, be a little more clear on what you have and don't have. Don't try and like trick people. Like, no, technically. Trick people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, some of them are good. I mean, but for a little bit more, it'd be hotel. And it's like, yeah, I guess I'd rather just stay at a hotel. But right. The two bedrooms, that's what made it a problem. We'd have to get two hotels.
Oh, yeah. You'd have to get two separate rooms. Yeah, so we'd have and to it wouldn't like, be in like a cool part of town.
Yeah.
Imagine having to come to these parts every day. It's like...
I feel like... Oh, yeah. I feel like if I paid a little more in a place like Chicago, it's tough because it's like a big city, you know? But if you pay a little more... Which is already like borderline too much, but if you pay a little more, then you can get something really nice.
Right.
Like 200 something a night. If you're a family, you could probably get a good place.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, all right, back to concerts.
Yeah. Where do we leave off?
Well, let's get into the do's and don'ts.
Oh, yeah.
What? Okay, so we talked about when you get there and stuff like that. Well, first of all, how is, now that you're sober, is it worse being at concerts? What's the experience difference?
Not at all. Because when I first started going to shows, I would never like... I like going to concerts to experience the music. So like getting high and drinking was never like, oh, I need to do that to experience it better. I have a perfectly good time, totally sober.
At Sunset Strip, we went to get those like sake or whatever that was on the side there.
Oh, yeah. That little... We found like this little bar, sushi restaurant. Yeah. With a bar that was like kind of right behind the main stage. So people don't go that far. Why would you?
Yeah.
But we looked at the sign and it was like, oh, happy hour, like $2 Sapporos. And we're like,
oh, yeah.
That's a great deal. We walk in there. Fucking no one's in there. Every other bar in the middle of the strip is packed. You can't move. Drinks are $8.
Jack prices. Yeah.
We go in there. We're like, this place has it right. We fucking text all our friends. We're here. Trust us.
Get
come.
Over here.
We go in there and we are just doing shots and drinking beers.
Shots of sake and Sapporos.
And then we're like, you know what would pair excellently with this Sapporo and these shots? It's some ecstasy.
So that's what we took ecstasy?
We did.
Oh, that's where we took it?
Yeah, you had some because you're like, oh, I'm going to stop by my place because I have some leftover ecstasy from I don't know where the hell you got it.
I don't have any memory of this, yeah.
And then you like you pulled it out of your pocket and each one was a different color. I'm like, wait a minute, where'd you get all these? And you're like, I don't know, I'm sure they're fine. And I'll take the blue one. And it turned out to be like just street ecstasy. It wasn't like Molly or anything clean.
No.
You could tell there was just like, there is speed in this. Yeah, because you're like, I am.
Love the speed.
Yeah. So we took those and then we're in the middle of the just packed fucking... crowd of people right by the main stage, and there's so many people, and normally it would be so annoying, and I was just like, it's so warm, everything feels so good, I love music and people, this feels great. And I was like, oh, this ecstasy kicked in, this is really good. I love being in this crowd right now where I can't move or breathe. Yeah.
And he sprayed blood on the crowd.
Yeah. It was awesome.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really great.
Yeah, ecstasy will improve bad music.
Oh, yeah.
One of the nice side effects of ecstasy. It really improves bad music.
Yeah, that's why like I think EDM is better when you're on E.
Well, we took him that Thune was with us that time and at Pretty Lights.
Oh, so you guys. I didn't.
Oh, you didn't go over there.
Yeah.
One of his friends had ecstasy. It's like, of course.
Yeah.
And then you see everyone dancing, having a good time. Like, Yeah. Okay. I saw this at a concert once, at a festival once, on the porta potties, every third or fourth porta potty. It showed like... picture of somebody on stage, like stick figures, and then it showed somebody in the crowd, and it showed a sight line, like dot, 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 looking from their eyes to the singer. And you could see it in a direct line. And then in between there was someone else in the crowd with a cell phone over their heads.
It's a big don't.
Direct view of what was going on.
That's
going
to be one of my main don'ts.
Yeah.
Is if you're at a fucking concert, especially if it's in a small music venue where you're already like... you're fucking like right up against people.
Even going to your pocket to get it out is an affront to others.
Yeah.
Like, come on, man, quit elbowing me.
It's like, take a picture, fine. That takes 3 or 4 fucking seconds.
Don't try to beat it with another picture.
Yeah. Take boom, 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 1, 2, 3, put it away. Maybe later when the visuals change, take, like, great, take fucking pictures. I do it all the time. But I don't have, I watched this concert at this place called Los Globos in Silver Lake. Small venue. And this band called Bosnian Rainbows was playing. It was one of the offshoots of the Mars Volta. One of the guys started it. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm totally there.
Oh, a side band of the garbage.
The Mars Volta.
Why do you
amazing.
Like Mexican music, Nick?
It's not You're Mexican music, that. You idiot.
It's Mexican
it's
music.
It's progressive.
It's traditional Mexican music.
So far
with
from
a
it.
Rock update.
You're an idiot. It is like post-punk prog rock.
It's like
it's
they come
so
out
good.
And they sit, all of a sudden they're playing and you hear it throughout all the la 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 la.
Yeah. And then they fucking sell oranges and everything's great. We're eating and we're watching music. It's yeah. amazing. So they're playing and I'm like 5 rows back and there's not a lot of people. It's a free show, last minute announcement. All you had to do is wait in line. Boom, you get in free. I'm like, this is a great deal. Didn't even fill up. I'm like, this is awesome. 5 rows back. Love this shit. Row 2. Some dude with one of those giant fucking Android phones had it up. He was recording video.
Video that never is going to come out.
For, and I'm not even exaggerating.
Guys, they record their own live video and they do it with professionals.
Yeah, and
it
you're
really
not
going
to do it any better with your
not
fucking...
Even your friends aren't going to like it.
Yeah.
They're going to watch 10 seconds of it and that's it. Even you're going to listen to the actual music.
Yeah, it's going to be shaky. You're going to be yelling woo right into the fucking speaker on your phone.
Yeah, you don't
gonna,
realize that... They...
Guess how long he had his phone up?
The whole time.
Pretty much. 45 fucking minutes.
Did you overstay it? Turn it down?
No, because he said he wouldn't be able to hear you anyway. He was holding it up with his left hand so long that his arm started to get tired. So then he propped his left arm up with his right arm to continue filming it.
Wow.
I'm like, dude, what about just having it in your fucking memory, you idiot?
No one wants to watch a concert through your phone.
Nobody. And here,
so that's what they're doing when you're blocking them completely.
A worse one than that, and I've seen this.
You had your phone out a lot, though, taking pictures.
Who, me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I took, like, I don't know, maybe 10 or 70, 12.
What?
What are you going to say, 70?
70, 80, yeah.
Yeah, I took, but, like, I would take the picture, then put it away and enjoy the rest of the song. And then if, like, there were new, I was like, oh, I really love how this visual looks. Boom, boom.
Balloons,
take another one, put it away.
I get it. You want to take a picture, say you were there. Even a selfie of, like, turn around with a band in the background.
Yeah.
Even that's okay. Go far away and get them in the background, absolutely. Right. But, like, 1, 2, get it out of the way. And
stop
fucking not living your life. Forget the fact that it's bothering other people. But don't forget that. You should remember that.
Yeah.
But also, it's like, when those balloons were coming down and my urge was to go to my camera to get my thing. And it's like, no, enjoy these balloons and this confetti. Enjoy. Don't stop.
Yeah.
For 2 minutes, because that's how long it's going to be to get it out, get your camera thing out, and you're tuned out during that time. And
I took
you're looking, you're trying to focus.
I took mine out right as the balloons were falling. I'm like, oh, this is going to look cool. I took the phone out, snapped the picture, put it away before the balloons even hit me.
Have your flash already off before you walk in there. You don't need to use flash when they're behind bright lights.
Yeah.
The flash is not necessary.
Yeah.
Especially at comedy shows.
It's not really a distraction if, like...
It's not a distraction at a music show, but...
Yeah, unless you just are holding it up for fucking... If you're taking video, it's like... And the only worse thing than that, and I've seen this a bunch, is people who bring their fucking iPads and record it on that.
Oh.
I have seen that.
And it's all it's doing is saying, look, nobody in front of me is being bothered. I can't see anyone who's being bothered. And like that's because you have such a... The same type of people who do that, the people that recline on fucking airlines...
Oh, right.
I'd be like, well, I don't see anybody being bothered. And it's like, but you know someone is.
Yeah.
You know someone's back there hating life because you had to recline.
Right. Yeah, that's, I mean, the iPad thing, that's like.
Did I tell you what they did in Dragon Air?
Dragon Air?
Yeah.
Is that the Chinese airline they call it that?
There's an airline named Dragon Air. We don't get it. It doesn't fly here.
Okay.
Instead of recline, they have incline. So, like, you'll be sitting there, your butt moves forward towards, and the seat. Back, like there's your actual seat back moves down inside the seat, so you move this way,
huh?
So it doesn't affect the person behind you at all, it just cuts off your own leg room. When you want it back to incline, you go back up this way.
Wow,
and you know how many people reclined? One, the whole flight. No
wow.
one's gonna fuck over the same amount of leg space they would fuck over with someone else, no one would do it to themselves.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, you want to do it? Okay, then you lose the leg room.
Yeah, that's hilarious. So yeah, recording video, it's a fucking don't. It's stupid. It never comes out good, and it disrupts people's view of the goddamn show.
What else? That's my number one.
If you're
barf drunk, I would say.
Oh yeah, getting wasted is dumb because you're tripping over people and you're gonna fucking puke, and it's like you're gonna be extra loud. And
I don't mind you tripping out on acid and crying or whatever in the corner. You don't bother people as much as when you get barf drunk. Even before you barf, you're still so sloppy that people are like, get off me. You're leaning on me.
Yeah. You know what another pet peeve of mine is?
Yeah.
Is when people are sitting in a group and they're just talking to each other for pretty much the whole show.
Oh.
And it's like, look, I get it's a concert and you don't need to be like quiet and attentive, but having a full-blown, full-volume conversation with four or five people.
Yeah.
While it's like, dude, I'm standing here because I chose to see the opening band. Right. If you want to have a conversation, do it before you fucking get here.
That's what we did with Galern. We sat for, it was Band of Horses Summer. We sat way in the back, away from everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what Jeff and Brody said. They went through the crowd at Oddball, which I'm playing this week. Should be interesting. Play that many people.
Yeah, yeah.
But they were going through the crowd. They went to the back, and it was all lawn, no seats, and people were out there smoking pot and talking, and it was so far away that pretty much only watching the monitors anyway.
Right.
There's no way the comic can hear you. You're not even screaming at them. You're just talking.
Yeah. But
away from everybody, sure. Go have your conversation.
Yeah. Don't be having like, hey, how was your day? Like, don't be having a regular conversation because I'm trying to fucking listen to the music, and sometimes it can be so loud.
Yeah.
Just
not a conversation. Yeah.
If you are short,
yeah.
Do not...
Stand on shoulders?
What? No, I mean, that's fine for a little bit. Like a song or two, whatever. I get that. But if you are a short person...
Do not get mad.
Do not tap the taller person in front of you and be like, I can't see, move. Because you're at a fucking concert.
Thousands of people there.
And a lot of people are going to be taller than you. So if you tap my shoulder and tell me to move and I move, the next person's probably going to be taller. So... Are you going to keep tapping shoulders until you're in the front row? No, that's not the way the concert works.
Yeah.
So if you don't like it, don't get floor seats.
Sure, people just don't get to watch concerts?
No, I mean...
They can't get floor seats. On the floor, they can't watch, huh?
Yeah, and if it's an all-floor show and you know you're shorter than probably fucking 80% of the people there, you know what? Deal with it.
Up front or way in the back?
Yeah, get there way early and get right up front on the fucking gate right there.
Yeah.
Or... Stand in the back.
Deal with it. Yeah, you were short before you got in here. You were short before you got in here.
That's just...
People can't not be who they are. It's not like they're doing anything to you.
Yeah.
It's the worst too when people have a little bit of room ahead of you, and I do it too. When I have like, oh, cool, I have like 4 feet in front of me. I'll stand right here. And then someone else gets in, you're like, hey, that was my room. But you're like, no, it wasn't.
You're like, no, this is general floor, and it's like, that's how concerts
work. We're going to pack in.
Exactly.
I like when the people are on the ground with their like blankets and stuff as it starts to fill up, like daytime stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then you stand in front of them and they're like, hey, come on. And you're like, look, we're all going to be standing even where you're sitting right now. These were blanket seats for a while and now they're standing seats. Mm-hmm. So people are going to step on your blanket.
Yeah, even if you're at like a show that's all seats, like the Hollywood Bowl or the Greek Theater or something like that, like at some point when the show starts, everyone's on their feet. But at some point, like... If 90% of the place is sitting and you're the one asshole standing, it's like,
then don't,
you know what? Sit down.
Oh, that's a lot of it. Go with the flow.
Yeah.
What is everybody doing? You should do that too.
Yeah. If no one is screaming, and I saw John Williams.
Don't be the only guy mosh pitting in the fucking middle, slamming off people. But
exactly.
Like, if there's a whole pit going, then enjoy.
Exactly. I saw John Williams, the composer, at the Hollywood Bowl a couple years ago, and he's an 80-year-old man, right? And he's, you know, he'll go up and he'll discuss, you know, the music from Star Wars, whatever, and then they'll, like, the symphony or whatever, will play it. But in between, he's like, he's talking, right?
Yeah.
And he's an old man, and it's not a fucking Metallica concert, and people are, like, talking to each other and yelling and screaming, and people are going, like, shh, and then... You see the people talking going, it's a concert. And you're like, okay, no. In this situation, it's not a concert.
It's not what it is.
There's an orchestra, and there's a senior citizen on stage discussing a piece that he wrote for you know, what he's about to play. This is an instance where you keep it down.
Yeah.
You know, if you're at a Slayer show, no one should be telling anyone to shut up.
Right.
Because it's a metal show.
It's so loud.
Right.
Exactly.
So it's like, go with the flow. That's a big thing.
What else?
Dress accordingly.
Okay.
If you're a girl and you're at a show where you're standing for 2.5 hours, probably
wear a miniskirt.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
show some cleavage.
Wear a mini skirt and wear 4-inch heels, because then you're probably not going to be complaining 25 minutes into the show.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, wait. You definitely fucking will be. So wear Converse.
Yeah.
Wear shoes. Wear jeans. Wear a t-shirt. Wear shit that if someone spills beer on you, which happens. Not because everyone's drunk. Sometimes someone's cheering and they accidentally elbow the guy behind you.
Yeah,
his beer goes behind that and it hits your... Don't wear a $280 blouse.
Right.
I wear a fucking black t-shirt, jeans, and shoes that I don't care about that much. Someone spills something, no big deal.
It was cool at Arcade Fire seeing people dress up in costumes and suits and stuff. That was kind of nice. I like being in a suit for that.
Yeah, it was cool wearing like...
Seeing people in a, you know...
Yeah.
Better wear.
Like costumes and like they have smiles on their faces. You're like, dude, I'm already having more fun. Show hasn't even started yet.
Show hasn't even started, yeah.
But yeah, dressing comfortable is a big one. Sit in your own fucking seats. It's like, I get you're like, oh, maybe we can move up later if people don't show up. But like, wait till this fucking show's 20 minutes in. If you look down and there's like, oh, there's a row, 5 rows down, no one's in it. It's like, yeah, then sure.
Yeah.
Try and sneak down a little bit.
It's the main concert start. I would say even you can sit down there early, but then move up once the openers are off because you're going to move back down, back further away.
Yeah.
You can sit there before everyone shows up.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? You can sit in someone else's football seats before the game starts.
A don't is don't buy tickets from scalpers like a couple hours before the show starts.
Why?
Because that's when they're going to be at their highest.
Oh, right.
You wait until about 10 minutes, 20 anywhere from 20 minutes to even 5 minutes before the headliner goes on. And if the scalper still has tickets, he's going to want to make any money he can above zero.
Right.
So you go, look, dude, I'll give you $10. I'll give you $20. Because you want to make 20, you want to make zero.
Right.
Because like, 5 minutes till the show starts.
See if he wants to make 10.
Yeah. Because if you're out there 2 hours before for a sold-out Radiohead concert.
And then you run the risk of the scalpers running out of tickets.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, but that's okay.
But yeah, I mean, it's better than paying, you know, $200.
My brother, while we were scalping Cowboys Redskins tickets, and Redskins would always sell out for, you know, season tickets were sold out 20 years in advance.
Right.
I mean, you just couldn't get them. People would leave them to each other in their will.
Right. So, for real?
For real.
Wow.
Yeah, you could leave them, like, I think like you'd leave them like once or twice in the family.
Crazy.
So my brother was like, how much are these tickets? And the guy was like, $75 for $20 tickets. And we're like, let me see them. And the guy's like, show them to him. My brother's like, yeah, I guess it's okay. And some guy's like, he goes, yeah, all right, I guess I'll do that. And some guy comes by, he's like, hey, I got 3 tickets face value. I'm just trying to get rid of them. My brother's like, oh, sure. And he gives the scalper his tickets back. And he goes to get the other guy. Mm-hmm. And the scalper's like, we had a deal. We had a motherfucking deal. And my brother's like, just get out of here.
Yeah.
Scalper, what are you talking about?
That's funny. Another do is if you need to take a shit and you're at a music festival.
Yes. What do you do if you need to take a shit at a music festival?
You wait until the beginning of a day. Say you get there halfway through day one, you got to take a shit, and the fucking porta potties are filthy, disgusting. They're all full. Wait until the beginning of day two, and you go in.
Shit for a half a day, you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, unless you're like...
Don't shit for 3/4 of a day?
It's at like explosive diarrhea time and you can't hold it in. But like if you're like, oh, I kind of need to... Like wait. And the beginning of the following day, the porta potties are all cleaned and all the toilet papers refilled and all that. And they're spotless.
Oh.
So you go in, say gates open at 1. You go in at 1 and no one's touched the porta potties yet.
Wow.
So they're totally clean, empty. They don't smell.
Good tip.
You can take a nice... big fat shit.
Have you ever taken a dump in like the woods or something because the porta potty is too disgusting? You had the shit?
Nope.
Never had a shit that bad. Never had diarrhea.
No.
At a festival. Good for you.
No. I'll just hold it in. I'll wait. Or you find porta potties that are way out of the way. If it's one like right by the entrance, it's like those lines are going to be long. You're They're fucked. The first ones to get filthy. Avoid. That's another one. Is avoid any line. If you need ID check, you got to get a wristband to get in the beer gardens.
Yeah.
Don't get in the lines that are like right by the entrance to the beer garden.
People are doing that right away.
Yeah, because those are the longest lines. You go far away.
Good tip.
You go far away where there's not a lot of people. Those lines are the shortest for porta potties, for beer, for any of that shit. Sneaking stuff into festivals. If you're camping, which is a big one. The best ways to sneak shit in is you get like a case of any cases of anything, like the paper cases of stuff.
Paper cases? What do you mean?
Like the cardboard cases of like Coca-Cola or anything like that.
You mean like a 12-pack of Coca-Cola?
Yeah, like a 12-pack. Okay, you know, sometimes they come in like water bottles that come in plastic, you know, case or whatever. So you get like the paper ones, the cardboard ones, and the sides and the top are all glued, right? So you get in there with a knife and just kind of slice through the glue, and you can open it, and then you take out the Coke, fill it with beer cans, same size, and then you glue it back closed.
And they'll allow you to take Coca-Colas in?
Yeah, you can bring food and drinks.
Just not alcohol.
Yeah. For Coachella changed the rules later where each person was allowed a 12-pack of beer.
Oh.
But you can't bring hard liquor in. But each person... So you would get a 12-pack of Coke and just slice it open and then fill it with beer. And then you close it back up and glue it, and it looks like it's untouched. So they're going to look at it and go, it hasn't been tampered with. We'd also bring in at Trader Joe's. Smart. You can get like bottles.
Flasks? You ever try flasks?
No, you know, there's no point because with bottles of water, Trader Joe's sells them in like this cardboard cases with like two, like a 12-pack, let's say, of giant 2-liter bottles of water.
Yeah.
So we'd open that up, and then we would empty out the water and fill it with vodka. So they look through, and it just looks like water. And then we'd go in with the equivalent of like 4 giant bottles of vodka would last us the whole fucking weekend.
And some water.
Yeah, and some water, of course. But yeah, we'd have people like the tents next to us like barely were able to sneak in anything. And we're like, oh, little tiny thing of Jack Daniels. Oh, let me pour you vodka,
so
vodka cranberry.
Nice about it. Like, me and Edgar and Renazisi were tailgating once in San Diego at a Chargers game. And somebody next to us was like, hey, we made way too many Jello shots, like 3 times as many as we need. Would you guys be interested in it? I'm like, yes! Yes, please, as many as possible.
Yeah.
I love Jello shots.
We would do that too. We'd make Jello shots and we'd put them in the cooler underneath like 4 or 5 layers of like food things that were all wrapped in tin foil. They never look that far in. They'd look 1 or 2. It's just fucking food. But at the bottom would be like a fucking tray full of Jello. That would be our like inaugural. We'd set up the tents and then we'd get in them, break out the Jello shots and each eat like 6 or 7 of the straw. They didn't taste anything like Jello.
Wow.
It was just you're eating vodka.
Somebody said that you can take those cases where it's like a backpack of water, where it's like just a
Camelback.
Yeah, Camelback. Mm-hmm. And empty it because it won't let you take it in. But you can fill it up when you're in there. But just line the inside with ecstasy powder.
Oh, okay.
And then when you fill it up, it's just like drink some sweet, sweet ecstasy.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a good one.
Yeah. What was your first... Well, my first concert was Eurythmics. I went with my sister at Constitution Hall in D.C. and David Kurtzer, I think. And it was great. It was great. Only real memory I have is I was such a Eurythmics fan at the time.
Yeah.
I mean, I loved Annie Lennox and fucking Dave Stewart, whatever his name is. But like,
so funny.
Yeah. Missionary Man was fucking great. And I remember dancing and then another song came a little slower and I was up there kind of waiting and somebody's like, sit down. And I looked around, everyone's sitting. I was like, oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But I was
my
so
bad. I've never been
it.
To one. Yeah. My first concert.
Your first concert was Creed, I'm assuming.
No, not at all.
No, it was Creed later.
This is like a weird ass first concert.
Yeah.
The one and only time I ever went to Lebanon when I was like 12, summer of 7th grade.
For training? Is that?
For family bonding. No. Uh-huh. So we're there and then like this girl that lived in the apartment building above my grandparents was like, oh, there's this like concert festival thing happening. And it's like it goes through the night. It starts at like 8 p.m., and goes through the night, and then at the end you give you like these breakfast tickets, and then you eat breakfast.
And you then eat you, breakfast and watch a beheading or something.
And then you go home, you watch music.
Oh,
And there were all these random bands, like a lot of them came from Europe and stuff, and I didn't know who any of them were, except there was this one band. Remember that song, Cotton Eye Joe? That band was there. And I was like, I know that song from MTV in America. That band was playing. And I was just standing there. Yeah, that song. And they played the whole thing. There were hay barrels on stage. It was the whole fucking thing.
Wow.
And the rest of the bands, I was like, I don't know who. That was fucking like 12 or 13. And that was the only concert I went to until I was about like 18 or 19, I think.
When did you just see Creed? What were they like in concert?
Never saw them live.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Was that for a while like a disappointment for yourself? Realistically, was that for a while? We're like, fuck, I got
to
see
these guys
live. I don't
think I ever had the desire to see them.
So the whole time you were going to lunch every day? I mean, school every day with your with your pail? Did you have a matching thermos?
No.
You couldn't get the thermos combo.
I like Creed for about a year.
Oh, my God. But you had already started comedy.
I know, that was the worst part.
Wow, embarrassing. It sounded like it was third grade.
I would defend them.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, that second album's really good. Yeah.
That second album's really good.
Yeah.
Fucking.
yeah, people would make fun of me. They're like, oh my God, I can't believe it. Because I really did at the time think like there were some good songs on it. There was so much shitty rock happening. It was either like Linkin Park or Limp Bizkit and all these rap metal bands. Yeah. And then they were playing like rock and roll, and I thought it was good. I didn't know that they were like this Christian, you know, rock band, and their lyrics were so corny. I was like 17 or 18. I was like, yeah, this sounds good to me. And it did for a little while. And then later on, I was like, oh, yeah, this is not good.
Do you think after you lost virginity, that's what turned it for you? When you saw the world through a new...
Did I like them after I lost my virginity?
Because you liked them before.
I did.
And then you lost your virginity not too long after
that. When I was
19.
I think maybe I did for a little longer.
Did you use a condom when you lost virginity or not?
I did not. Wait.
Brass?
I don't think I did. No, maybe I did because I fucked for like 2.5 hours. Because people would tell you like, oh, you're going to come right away. And I was like, I think I was so nervous and I was wearing a condom that I was just like, I just kept going and going.
Jeez Louise.
I know. It's funny. And then like the next probably 6 or 7 times, it was just like 2 minutes. You know, like, oh God. Because you know what's going to come. You're like, oh, I'm so excited. Yeah, it's going to be awesome. But yeah, I remember defending that band. I was like, no, there's songs on there that are good. And then later, when your eyes just open, you're like, oh yeah, they fucking suck.
Yeah.
Because at the same time,
I was thinking.
I like good music too.
Yeah, you did like good music even then. Even then, you did like good music.
Yeah.
What time is it right now?
It is.
Check your Fitbit. What?
7:14.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to get my laundry out, and I'm going to... By the way, that concert was great, Arcade Fire. So glad we did it.
It was awesome.
So glad we did it. The show was good, too, at Zany's.
Show was fucking awesome at Zany's. Yeah. I've never been to that room, and it was really fucking cool.
What a great room, right? Zany's, downtown Chicago.
It's cool. It feels like it's been around for 30 years. It got fucking headshots all over the wall.
Old headshots. One of those old headshot places.
Reminds you of being like in the hallway at the store.
Yeah.
Where you're like, it's cool that they have this.
Sometimes you see the same headshot where they ran off 100, and it's like they gave one to this club and one to the store.
Yeah, because back then, like, you had to have headshots. You'd print them out, give them to every club, and those were your headshots for probably 3 or 4 years.
I asked Aziz recently if he still had headshots. He goes, man, I don't think I ever had headshots.
Yeah.
I think I came when you didn't really need them
mm-hmm.
or something. I was like, wow.
That's weird, right?
Yeah, we were just like, save up your money. You have $500, save up. Use $200 of it for headshots.
My first headshots cost $60.
Yeah, Marvin, right?
Yeah, Marvin.
Marvin. He did everybody's headshots, man. He did everybody's.
Yeah.
Same backdrop, good enough ones.
Yeah. And you got them on
shitty,
little.
But I booked a shitload of commercials off those headshots.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got the film roll. You had to look at it through the eyeglass thing.
Yeah.
The beginner.
You got 2 rolls. It was like 80 pictures for like $60.
Yeah.
Which now it's like, they just keep, there's digital. They just shoot.
For 500.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Well, let's wrap up and then we'll do an outro. Can you stay around for the outro?
I think I can hang out
for
a little bit.
We'll say our fondest memories, if you can think of some of your fondest memories at a concert.
Oh, cool, yeah.
We'll do that for the outro.
Okay, I definitely got one.
That's it, you guys. We're done. Thank you, Nick Youssef. What's your Twitter address? How can people find you?
I have a website, www.nickyousef.com.
Now, a lot of people don't know that websites often start with www. It stands for World Wide Web.
Mm-hmm.
So if you just enter www, there'll be some HTTP before it. Don't worry about that. As mm-hmm. long as you go www, you're okay. And now, what was that website again?
I went to I ordered Thai food once from this place.
Yeah.
And I was like, do you guys have a website where I can look at your menu? I'm not really finding anything. Yeah. She's like, yeah, we do. Okay, ready? And with a pen, I'm like, yeah. She's like, okay, World Wide Web at... I'm like, wait, what?
World Wide Web at...
She goes, World Wide Web dot... And I'm like, what did you say? World Wide Web... I'm like, that's how she says www. Yeah. She fucking says it out. It was great.
Isn't World Wide Web shorter?
I don't... Yeah,
to
but
speak?
It,
yeah.
It made no sense why she would do that.
Yeah.
But...
Worldwide
I guess
web.
She asked someone and she's like, that's okay, I'm gonna say it.
Great.
So nickyousef.com. My Twitter is
2 S's 1 F.
Yeah. YOUSSEF.
And then once you complete your first suicide bombing or
anyway, my
it,
Twitter
you get your
is
F there for or like an A. You got Yusufa. That's what Allah, because Allah's now in your name.
I don't even know what any of this means. My Twitter is at Nick Youssef.
Because when God blesses you, a lot of times like Abraham, before he was Abraham, was Abram. in the Old Testament.
So you
Avram.
Get you get an
and then
A.
When he did this thing, when he sort of met God,
yeah,
he got an H. H is another one, and then Yaakov was Yaakov, and then he turned to Yaakov, Jacob, Jacob. Right. So like Hakeem Olajuwon, he used to be Akeem, then he changed to Hakeem when he got God in his life.
So you, like, God gives you extra letters that you're like, here.
So like, yeah. So when you hand off like a, like when you made like, I don't know, where they come in a dozen bombs in a case or whatever it is. Once you finish it, is it like Nika Yusuf or Nich Yusuf? Do you get the H on your Nicholas?
You know what my parents used to call me when I was a kid? Because the French for Nick or Nicholas is Nicola.
Yeah.
And they would say that around my friends.
Nicola.
And fucking when you're a kid, any opportunity to make fun of you, they're like, you have a girl's name. And it spread like wildfire for what felt like the rest of my life.
Yeah.
At the time. Nicola. Your mom calls you Nicola. That's a girl's name. You got a fucking girl. You're different. You're not like us. You're different. You have a girl's name. By the way, nightmare.
Did you hear who got pregnant?
Who got pregnant?
On a Tinder date?
You got...
Did you hear who got pregnant on a Tinder date?
No.
Someone we know?
No.
I'm going to say the name and then I'm going to unpause.
Tinder date.
Yes. Wow. On a Tinder date. First Tinder date.
Dude, what are the
she
odds?
She went on one with him. She was in between birth control pills, she said. So she thought that'd be good enough.
Yeah. Oof.
But it's often not as good as... I mean, it's definitely not as good as on a birth control. But right. She goes, you know what? Let's use a condom anyway.
Right. Good call.
Yeah. Condom broke.
Okay.
Fuck. Well, morning after pill. Took the morning after pill. Said it didn't take.
Wow.
And then she said, maybe I should just have this thing.
What, did she take that as a sign from God or something?
Something. Look at those idiots. They're always like
fucking
that.
Fucking moron. Stephen Wright had a great joke way back in the day. I slept with a girl who was on birth control.
This is his joke.
Stephen Wright. Slept with a girl. She got pregnant. She was on birth control. We used a condom, and we used the morning after pill. The baby came out wearing a suit of armor. It's a really good joke.
It's funny.
But that's fucking crazy.
Yeah. So she's moving back to Arkansas. She's going to have a fucking kid.
She's just going to be like a fucking trailer park statistic.
She's going to be trailer trash.
What are you doing with
your... She's going to be trailer trash.
Get rid of it.
Yeah, I told her that, but now she passed the 6-month mark.
So go to Mexico.
That's what I said.
Get a coat hanger.
It's only illegal here. Don't get a coat hanger. Go to Mexico.
No, I know.
Go to Mexico.
Where do they have coat hangers?
Do the right way. They have surgical procedures for this.
Kid, there's a flight of stairs.
Let's give it up for adoption. You know who wouldn't love a white baby?
Oh.
White people would love it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, she's pregnant.
Get the fuck out of here.
All right.
So yeah, that my Twitter at Nick Yusuf. Buy my new album, everybody. Stop Not Owning This, available on iTunes and all things comedy.
Nick, when's the last time you bought something off iTunes?
It's been actually within a year. I bought season one of Nathan For You.
Wow, crazy.
Yeah.
Why? Was it not available?
Yeah, I was gonna fly somewhere, and I was like, you know what? I just want this on my computer now. I don't have time to download it. Fuck it, it's $10.
Only excuse when you're like, I have no time to do
it. It was like $8 or $9.99. I'm like, let's do it.
Would you be upset at people torrenting your album if that's the way they get stuff?
No, because it's my first one. I just want it out there.
Yeah,
whoever's gonna buy it's already bought it. People are gonna buy it on vinyl when
that
comes out.
What they don't understand is the people who torrent stuff were never going to buy it.
Yeah.
Those are non-customers. Those are only live customers.
And here's the way I look at it, by the way. If your stuff is readily available on torrent sites, you're getting popular.
Yeah. Look at Game of Thrones.
Yeah. I've searched people on torrent sites. You can't find their shit. The more people that care about somebody, their shit's available to download illegally.
Yeah. Everybody if you know how to put stuff up for torrents, put my album, Revenge for the Holocaust.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks, Nick.
Thank you.
Take us out, Arcade Fire or Devo. Probably Devo. And then Arcade Fire, I'll do that last song. Well, stay around for the outro. I will. Are we that bad? We are Devo. Are we that bad? Devo. Well, that's the episode, everybody. I'm back here with Nick Yusuf. We're in Chicago doing the outro to this episode. What'd you think, Nick? You listened to the episode. What'd you think?
I was there for pretty much the whole episode.
This might be the first time somebody's done an outro with me that they actually have heard what's going on. In the
yeah.
Place. Let's go smoke a cigarette and joint while we're out there.
Oh, and do it out there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You're battery
mobile.
Powered. Mobile.
You should be in a studio. We offer you more. You should be in a studio. What do you offer me more than I can go outside and smoke while I'm doing
I'm
this?
A professional. I use studios. All right.
Let's put this here. So that's the episode. We're gone. Give us some of your fondest memories. Not the fondest, but some of your fondest memories at concerts over the years, Nick.
Let's see.
And by the way, everybody, don't forget to go to my website, arithegreat.com, and you can see all my tour dates on there. You can also get tickets for This Is Not Happening tapings September 9th, 15th, and 16th. Joey Diaz is on the 16th. Duncan Trussell is on the 16th.
What about that Amazon thing you were mentioning earlier?
Oh, yeah, my Amazon. Oh, yeah. I forgot to say this. Thanks. You guys, if you're going to school and you need to buy books.
Drop out.
But after you spend your parents' money through my Amazon link getting your school books. Do it through my Amazon link. You can get everything, all your school books on Amazon, and then I'll get money. It's like a major purchase. They gouge you guys on fucking, by the way, higher education, not worth it. Not worth the cash. You get something out of it, but not enough. You don't get $120,000 worth of it.
You can
but as long as you're there.
Your higher education.
Yeah, you pretty much can now. I heard a Harvard professor just like letting his stuff out online. His classes. He's just like, yeah, use it. Free education. But please, use my Amazon link on my website. It's right under my dates on the right-hand side for your books. Okay, Nick, fondest memories of...
One of my fondest was one of the first, I think second year of Coachella I went. And it was back before it got really crazy busy.
Yeah.
And they introduced this thing called like a water bottle recycling program, right?
Water bottle recycling at Coachella.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what it was if you turn
what
in... You turn in 10 empty bottles, and you get one free bottle of water, which was cool because a bottle of water is $2, and you drink a lot of fucking water. This is before they had those free water filling stations that a lot of festivals have. So,
because people died.
We did that a couple of times, and we're like, dude, you know what? Why don't we just run around and like collect a bunch of empty bottles? They're all over the fucking ground. We'll just ask people for them. Fill them up and then get a whole case of water and just like share it amongst ourselves with our friends and shit. So we did that and we did it in like 20 minutes. We got like a bunch of water and we're like, hey, we have all these. Can we have a case of water? And they're like, I suppose. And they give it to us. And then we're like, you know what we can do is get like a few cases of water and sell water.
Really?
Because that was one of the 2 years I actually paid for Coachella tickets. And they were like fucking $200 at the time or something like that.
Whoa.
And we didn't have a lot of money to like spend at like beer gardens and all this shit and like, you know, buy any merch, like a Coachella sweater. So we're like, it was me and my friend Robert, and we're like, dude, we can do this. And that was like day one. And we're like, here's what we're doing day two. We're going to get into the festival at the beginning because that's when all the trash cans are empty too. And what they do is they have the empty bag and underneath it are other empty bags. So when they pick up the full one, there's an empty one underneath, they replace it. So we went in and looked underneath, got empty trash bags, walked around and started collecting, I mean, giant trash bags full of empty water bottles. We're walking around, people thought we worked there. And we went over to the water recycling thing and we're like, here, I mean, two giant trash bags full of empty water. And we got four cases of water, I think it was. And we walked away from any stands that were selling water. We went in the middle of...
Where you wouldn't have a competition.
Yeah, middle of the field. And we're like, all right, so Coachella sells bottles for $2. We're going to sell them for $1. And
sure.
We proceed to sell, I think, around $150, $200 worth of water.
What?
Yeah, between the two of us.
Wow. You and Robert?
Yeah. We spent... all fucking day. We'd sell everything we had. We'd take some of the money, go to the beer garden, pound a few drinks because it's so fucking hot. And we'd run around collecting more, get more. And we did that the next day. And meanwhile, we'd take a break, watch a couple bands. And we did all this early in the day before all the good bands started. Got all this fucking money. We didn't see any of our friends pretty much all day.
Wow.
We're making money. And by the end of each day, when like the sun would start to go down, we'd find our friends and we're like, take out a fucking wad of money and we're like, drinks are on us. And we go to the beer garden and just we're buying everyone fucking drinks and getting fucking hammered. It was so great.
That's amazing.
I think we did it the next year too a little bit, but we're like, it's too much fucking work this time. Let's just enjoy the fucking, let's make enough money to like buy a few beers each day.
Yeah.
It was really, really cool. And at one point, a security guard comes up because we're just sitting in the middle and we have like a crowd of people. There's like 10 people around us like giving us money. He walks over. He's like, what are you guys doing? And we're like, nothing. He's like, are you guys selling water? And we're like, no, we're giving it out. Are you sure? We're like, yeah. And then the people that were standing around us were like, wait, do you guys not work at the festival? Like the concert goes and we're like, no. And then we're like, okay, we abandon ship. And then we just like walked all the way across the other side of the festival and posted up there and we're like, dollar water. Be like, only a dollar. We're like, yeah, Coachella sells them for two. We're selling for one. They're not cold, but you are getting them for half price.
Wow.
And we're just fucking selling them like wildfire.
Wow.
It was great. We made a ton of fucking money.
One of my favorite memories was that first Sunset Strip Festival when I said online I'm going. A lot of times people online will help you if you're like, going to this festival, who should I see? And they'll look over and like, oh, you got to see like Bambaleo or whoever it is. Mm. Somebody told me like, I'll tell you what, Nico Vega is great live. Right. So I was like, okay. It's the only recommendation I got. Matt and Kim was really good that year.
Mm-hmm.
LMFAO was like before they were massive was pretty cool, but they were like, you talk too much. Get back to the dancing and shit.
I hate when bands do that.
But I went in there. It was the Cat Club. Was it still around then? Was that where it was? Where was it?
What, Nico Vega?
Yeah.
Was it the Roxy?
The Roxy. Walked in and I was like, I remember that was early Twitter. And I wrote, that's when I was pretty much just following your friends and your friends would follow you. And I was like, I'm going to Nico Vega at the Roxy. And then you guys all just came. Like, that was as much you had to put out. Like, I'm going to be here if you guys want to join me or not. I don't want to make a big deal of it, but I heard they were good, so I'm going to watch them. And then you guys were all, I turned around, you guys were all there.
Right.
It was fucking cool. And they rocked it.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I haven't seen a band kill that hard in a while.
They were really good. First time I saw Gogol Bordello was a cool memory because they played real late at Coachella. They had them on at like 11 p.m., so it's all headliners. And that year was like the Chili Peppers, and I'm like, I kind of don't care. I'm like, I'll watch John Frusciante do one solo, then I'm out. I want to see this Gogol Bordello band. I had their album. It sounded so great. I'm like, they got to be good live. And I go all the way to the other side of the venue, and they're playing in the Sahara tent. And I walk up, and there's maybe 100 people. I walk right up there, and they are, on fire. There's these girls playing these fucking, like, you know, those, like, giant drums that you attach to your chest that you see in, like, a marching band. This girl's playing one of those. She takes it off. The lead singer grabs it, throws it into the crowd, and the backside is, it's hollow. So he throws it into the crowd, and they're holding it upside down. He crowd surfs over to it, jumps in it, drops the microphone in it, and starts beating on it while he's in crowd surfing onto the stage. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, everyone's watching the Chili Peppers, and this is 1,000 times fucking better.
Yeah.
For the next 3 months, I was telling everyone I ran into, I'm like, watch Gogol Bordello live if you can. They put on an unbelievable show.
That's cool.
Yeah.
What was I just going to tell you? Oh, you ever go crowd surfing?
I never done it, no.
Really?
Yeah.
I did it at Rock in the Range.
Really?
This guy was acting as this big fat guy. He was like crouched down and he's letting everyone jump off his back onto the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
I told Jay, I'm like, dude, I'll see you later.
Yeah.
So much fun when you get up there.
That's funny.
I went with Kevin Christie. Have I told my impression of me and Kevin Christie going to the mosh pit at WK?
I have not heard it. I've not heard it.
Well, it's mostly a visual, but look at it anyway.
Okay.
Imagine us both like this. And we're about to go in. We're like, hey, you want to go mosh? And Kevin's like, yeah, let's go. And we took two steps, like towards, like we're in the back of the House of Blues, like up a level. So we had to go down a level, then into it.
Uh huh.
So we took like three steps, and we both go.
You take off your glasses, put them away,
and then we go right in.
Both of you at the same time.
That's dude. Hilarious. When I jumped up for that tambourine, and my glasses fell off at Arcade Fire.
I hit
the floor. I was like, there they are. People were jumping all around. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Got them untouched.
That's really fun.
How much did that fucking tambourine weigh?
Wynn
throws his tambourine at the end of the show. He just throws it in the crowd.
Yeah. And it was the one time during the show, by the way, because bands were throwing, like Devo was throwing a bunch of shit. And the whole time I'm like, everyone's throwing shit into the middle. Throw it to fucking stage left where we are. Nothing the whole show until Wynn Butler throws the tambourine. I'm like, that motherfucker's coming right at me.
Right at
us. And I'm going to get it. And I jump up as it's coming. It hits my pinky, bounces off. By the time I turn around, You're nowhere to be found. So I thought, like,
I was on the floor.
I thought you just got leveled by people.
Up, my glasses fell.
And it bounced off my pinky. It drew a little bit of blood. And I was like, I was so close. I fucking felt it in my hand.
Man, that would have been cool. You would have put it on your wall.
Oh, dude, I would have
put that up on your wall.
I would have kept that fucking thing. It would have been fucking
so cool
awesome.
And blue.
Yeah.
Got two rows behind us, got it.
Yeah.
Right there.
It would have been so fucking cool.
Oh.
What's another good memory?
You know what I love? One time, my first Social D concert, when Danny Lucas was trying to get me into them.
Yeah.
Danny used to play in the Zeros and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And I saw him at the Viper Room and pack shows, and that was pretty fun.
Yeah.
But, so this fucking punk rock kid gets on stage in fucking denim. He's maybe 12. Yeah. Denim mohawk and a denim jacket. And what's his name from Mike?
Ness.
Mike Ness. He was like, hey, little punk rocker, how long you been rocking? He's like, I don't know, whatever. He's like, how old are you? He's like, all right, cool. He goes, you want to jump off? And he goes, yeah. And he goes, all right, go for it.
That's great.
And he just fucking ran and jumped into the crowd. I fucking, man.
Wow. Twitter is actually good for, like, if you follow musicians you like and bands, like, they'll post sometimes day of, like, secret shows.
Really?
That are happening that day. And I'm telling you, secret shows are always some of the coolest because the venues are, like, half full. They're free or real cheap, and they're in small venues. I saw Mars Volta at the Echoplex once. They announced it that day.
Wow.
Me and my friend drove over there. We get
harvest
in.
Harvest was cut short, so they had
to... What was it?
The harvest season was cut short, so they had to...
Oh, yeah, They weren't picking vegetables, and they're like, let's put on a show. And I went in. It was like maybe 60, 70% full, and we watched an amazing fucking free goddamn show.
Wow.
It was so good.
That's cool.
I remember once I was at the Wiltern watching... like Wilco or something like that. Another awesome band to see live.
If you
first get into their music, they're the American Radiohead. They've been called that a lot. It's awesome folk rock. It's really, really good. Great lyrics. Amazing, amazing band. I was watching them, and I went and got a beer. And it was upstairs at the upstairs bar, and it's kind of like they're starting to close it down. And I go, I get my beer, I walk back, and some fucking drunk fucking two people ran by me and hit my elbow. And I spilled most of the beer. It was a fucking $14 beer. Those big ones. It was like 16-ounce cups.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, hit it right away, most of it gone. And I go, I just bought this thing from her 1 minute ago. There's no way I finished it. She's got to give me another one. It's just fucking courtesy. I'm paying per... Just hook me up. End of the night. I go over there. I'm like, listen, I just got this from you. I have not even been gone a minute. Someone spilled it. It's all over my arm. I didn't drink it. She's like, I can't. I'm closing. I'm like, look, I understand you're closing, but like, look at the scenario. Like, I'm not trying to get away with anything. You know, I bought three beers from you earlier. I'm not trying to rip you off. I'm a fucking adult. Like, come on.
Yeah.
And she goes, I'm closing. No, I'm like, you know what? You're being rude right now. I mean, you are honestly being rude, and I'm just asking you to replace a beer that was spilled. So who's standing next to me is this employee. And she goes, what's going on here? And she's like annoyed. And I thought she was going to be annoyed with me. And I go, I explain the situation, and I go, and then, you know, she kind of refuses to help me. She goes, you know what? Come with me. And she walks me downstairs to the main bar in the Wiltern lobby. And she goes, what's your name? And I go, Nick. And she's like, you know what? I've been having a bad day, and I'm going to help you out just because it's going to make me feel better. And she goes to the bartender. She goes, you know, whatever, Bob. She's like, this is Nick. Free drinks for the rest of the night. And I'm like, are you kidding? Uh-huh. And she goes, yeah. And I'm like, whoa. And I guess maybe we were halfway through the concert because I went back there and I'm like, fucking, if it's free, I'm going for it. I got like, whoever I was with, I got a drink for. I got another three or four. I got like $50 in beer for free. And I was like, I can't remember her name, but, and I knew it for a while because of like, I got her number. I'm like, you know what? Thank you. You're great. And she's like, yeah, I run the bars at the Wiltern. So cut to like 6 months later, I'm at the Palladium, and there was this guy that I knew through like Nick Swartz, and he was friends with him, and he was like working sound or something at the Palladium. He's like, oh, hey, I'm going to be at the show. I'm like, oh, cool. We'll meet up. I'll say hi before. So we're standing out in the lobby of the Palladium. We're talking, and then this girl comes up to say hi to him, and he goes, oh, hey, what's up? And I'm looking at her. I'm like, this girl looks really familiar. And she looks over at me and she goes, hey, I know you. I'm like,
what?
I know
she
you.
She remembered you?
I know you too. And she goes, I'm like, you're the girl that gave me all the free drinks at the Wiltern. I'm like, what are you doing here? She's like, well, Live Nation or Golden Voice or whatever runs both these venues. I'm like, I've told so many people the story of how you were so nice to me that one
day.
Wow. You were the sweetest girl. She's like, you know what? Come with me.
Oh.
Walks me over to the Palladium bar and she goes, this is Nick. Free drinks all night. And I drank all fucking night for free at the Palladium, too.
Wow.
She was the fucking coolest, man.
What's her first name?
I don't remember. It was years ago. I don't remember. If I thought about it, I would. Wow. But, man, she. It's like it pays to just be nice to people.
Yeah. Meanwhile, this is where we go in. We go to ticket the door 4, and they're like, no, you got to go to 6. You have these tickets. Like, all right, right. But we're right here. Can't, fine. So we go over there, gate 6. And like, we told us to come to this window. Like, no, you got to go to 4. Like, no, we were just there. They told us to come here.
Yeah.
Like, trust me, you got to go to 4. I'm like, I know that, but we were just there. I gave them my license and my ticket and my credit card. They said they don't have the tickets there. Like, we just came from there. So it was like, and they were like, gave me this attitude of like, why aren't you listening?
Yeah.
Why aren't you listening? And they got security guys like, why don't you just call over there on the walkie-talkie and find out instead of sending these guys? But it wasn't his job.
Yeah.
So, like, just go over there. So we leave out of gate 6 to go all the way around to gate 4 again.
Yeah.
And then right there, there's like, oh, wait, is this the – can we check in here? And she was like, yeah, what's your name? Okay, yeah, we got it. Here you go. Here's tickets. Yeah.
And it was –
and then as we went in, as we went back in, I was like, just passive-aggressively. That's the way I was doing it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, just so you know, it was actually right outside. It actually wasn't 4. It was right outside.
Yeah.
And then what do you do?
Yeah, I was like, hey, it was gate 6, by the way. It was gate 6. Yeah,
and so you're like yelling, so you're wrong.
Yeah, you
just
were
so
wrong.
You know, so you're wrong. Yeah.
Just for next time, you were wrong.
She couldn't have been less just
she
could, caring at
she
all.
She just threw her hands up and smiled.
Baby.
Like, yeah, I don't care.
Enjoy the concert.
Yeah, I don't like this fucking job. Fuck you.
I work here for Red Wings games, too. I don't give a shit.
That's a problem with like a lot of these venues.
Union labor.
Yeah, a lot of these smaller venues are like they're all eaten up by Golden Voice and Live Nation, and they just outsource security to these security companies. They don't give a fuck. They don't want to hear it from you. They're just like, keep moving. Anything you say, like, we don't care, keep moving. It's like, look, I'm here to have a good time, and you're treating me like I'm a fucking prisoner in a prison. This is not a prison. It's a fucking concert.
Yeah.
I'm asking you a question. Hey, can I get into this area with this wristband? But no, you got to move. No, but I was told you got to go, and you're like, you're not listening. You go to the box office, they go, oh, yeah, you can do that. And then you go back and tell them, they go, oh, okay.
Like, okay.
It's like, learn the fucking...
You're putting people out. All right,
learn
whatever.
The fucking
it's just
rules.
Complaining. Ladies and gentlemen, oh, yeah. So don't forget, go see me in Calgary, Denmark, and my storyteller shows, and London. I don't think those will ever be on the website. And Dayton, Ohio... Mm-hmm. Appleton, Wisconsin, and San Diego, if you haven't already seen my hour.
And see me in New York. I'm there September 5th through 15th at Gotham and The Stand and Stand Up New York.
Boom. He's living the scene in New York. You're doing it. Are you going to go see any shows there?
I think I have a couple nights off. Maybe I will.
Why not? It's a cool place to see
there's
music.
Something cool. And Washington, D.C., September 25th through 27th.
I went to see that band. What was that? What did I call them? I went to see Veruca Salt. And it
Circus
was
Survive.
Thursday. Yeah, and I accidentally bought tickets, and it says Circus Survive. Like, what is this? And I text you. I'm like, Circus Survive? I like just texting you a band's name with question mark.
Yeah.
You and Kevin. That's, you know what I need to know. Kevin, yeah. I do it with artists.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're like, lame. They're for, like, people 20 years younger than you and whatever it was. And I was like, well, I'm seeing them.
Yeah. To be fair, that's
people,
most music you
like. A couple people like, oh, Ari Shaffir, man, I recognize you. You like Circus Survive? I'm like, fucking all about it, bro. I'm all about it.
You know what I willingly went and saw once?
What?
Hanson.
Wow.
Yeah. This girl I knew that worked at Live Nation, she's like, I'm a fucking huge Hanson fan.
Huge Hanson fan.
We've been trying to like go see a concert. Dude. We'd always talk about music because she ran like some Live Nation comedy for a little bit. That's how we met. And I'm like, we keep trying to go to concerts. I'm like, you know what? The next show you got, I don't care what it is, I'm going.
And it was Hanson.
She hits me up. She's like, Hanson's coming up. I'm like, I did say the next one, so you know what, fuck it, let's do it. And we went to whatever, it's closed now, but it was on like Coenga or Vine, whatever Fenny was there, and I went with her, and it was like a bunch of young kids and then a bunch of like people kind of maybe my age that were just like weirdly still huge Hanson fans. And I'm looking around, I'm like, this is the most bizarre fucking place. There's all these like kids. And then Hanson goes on and they play, and they've continued to release albums. So it's just like all these songs. And that was actually the day I learned that I was like, you know what? Even if you don't like a band,
right?
If they've been playing for 20 years, they know how to play music.
They know how to do something.
I watched the show and I'm like, it was a watchable show. They're a generic middle of the road rock band, but they played. Everyone loved it. They played Mbop. Everyone sang along. It was pretty interesting. It was pretty interesting.
So what are we going to call this episode? Just concerts? Concert experience? Get about 15 seconds.
How about, are you concert experienced?
Are you concert experienced?
It's a play on Jimi Hendrix album title.
I know what it is.
No, I'm sorry. Well, there's a lot of music you don't know, so I was just trying to help.
They didn't make any CD, by the way. No good music.
No one does CDs anymore.
I'll make me a CD of MP3s.
I'll make you a thumb drive.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, episode 182. Are You Concert Experienced with Nick Youssef, over and out.
Thank you.